And welcome, everybody, to RP Grinders, episode 698. I am your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great and Breakman the Bold. Gentlemen, how are you?
Is that a question, or do I just, I don't know what I'm talking about. Just
I think it was formed in the form of a question, Breakman, but...
it's been a long week. Let's just
move on. All right, man. What was I going to say? I'm already hungry, man. They're talking about burgers and food and Arby's burgers and Culver's and all kinds of shit in chat. So I'm just like, man, I'm ready to like go right now so I can go eat. But I don't know. Depending on your view, fortunately or unfortunately, we have to get on with this show. So there you go. Eric, how you doing, man?
Okay, I guess.
Yeah. All right, well, let's get started with the news, guys, so we can get this out of the way, get to some... Man, we've got lots of spicy stuff to talk about today.
Spicy.
RPG News.
All right, Eric, you are up, sir.
All right, from RPG site, we've got a release date for the Dio Field Chronicles, and it's coming out whenever this freaking article loads. It's taking sweet-ass time.
I love how we're always prepared on RP Grinders. Mm-hmm. It's the best.
But September 22nd in Japan, and demo available on August 10th, and no release window for the West yet, but Square's been doing a lot of global releases, so it's or at least semi-simultaneous, if not simultaneous. So probably only a couple months or weeks later, probably.
I mean, it looks kind of cool. I don't really know what type of game it is, other than maybe an action RPG, maybe?
It's a strategy RPG.
Really? It doesn't even look strategy to me.
With, like, RTS elements.
Huh. Okay. Well, I mean, it looks very realistic graphics, so that's kind of cool. I mean, you know, there you go. All right, anything else on this, Eric?
Not really.
All right. Next story, Breakman.
Coming to us live from RPG site, Monster Raising RPG Coromon launches from Nintendo Switch on July 21st. Wow, that's really soon, just a couple weeks. Let me see, it's already released on Steam earlier this year. Cross-save capability will also be sorted between PC and Switch versions, so that's cool. I don't think we'd care about the story, but the game will be $19.99 with English, French, Italian, German, Spanish, Portuguese, Russian, Japanese, Korean, and Chinese language support.
Yeah. Weiland says he's going to eat his sandwich in the parking lot and listen. That's cool,
They're not going to arrest you for loitering.
They could try, but he has a purpose there. I'm sure the business isn't going to tag him for loitering.
Is he at a restaurant?
Yeah, it's Culver's.
And he's eating their food, right?
Yes.
They don't care about that.
Yeah.
Even if they're not inside the building.
They shouldn't. He just bought food.
They don't care.
I mean, can you imagine the fucking PR nightmare that they would have if they called the cops on somebody that actually bought food in a drive-thru? And they were considering that loitering if he was eating the food there?
Hello, officer.
There's a customer out here, and he's eating food in our parking lot. That's so stupid.
I know, it's so dumb.
The only thing I could say about Dio Field Chronicles is it's being developed by Lioncars, who did the Etrian games.
Oh, you're talking about the first story?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anything else on this break?
No.
All right. Next story. I'm interested in this. Next story comes to us from RPGsite.net. If my fucking story will load like you guys. Sea of Stars announces a PlayStation 5 and PlayStation 4 version, and I fucking knew it. But it was delayed to 23, and I just had an inkling that that's going to be
the reason.
Yeah, just I mean I couldn't put my finger on it per se, but that just kind of, I don't know, it kind of reeked of that. I mean, this game is getting a lot of good hype, man, and for good reason. It looks absolutely gorgeous. We've talked about Sea of Stars on the show before, and I'm glad they're bringing it to the PS5 because you know, that's mostly what I play is PlayStation. So, you know, whatever. Scotomus says, I've seen a video of a guy who was eating Taco Bell late at night get arrested. So it's I understand that, Scotoma, but really? I mean, can you imagine the bad
pub? It's this early in the day, it's probably still daylight.
It depends on what they're doing. Like, I mean, did this guy get out, like, a table and chairs and shit, light some candles?
Well, I mean, even if he did, why would they care? Like, honestly, why would they care? Like, you know, I don't know, man. I think the loitering laws are pretty
dumb. I guess more than likely they probably smelled weed.
Well, Jim, anywhere I go, I'd be pulled over all the time, dude. Fuck, man. I mean, dude, seriously, you know, I tell people this all the time on my other channel. I smoke weed in my car at night when it's parked in my driveway, right? So at any given point, if I get pulled over, my car's going to smell like fucking weed. There's no doubt about it. Because that's where I smoke. I don't smoke in the house. I smoke outside in my car in the driveway without it on, so there's no bullshit about me driving or anything like that. But
I don't know in your state, but in some states, like, they will still, like, he was in the vehicle, even though the vehicle wasn't on. Like, there's still, like, the opportunity to operate it. Like,
well, in my state,
I'm sure in your state, because they're
in my state, it's perfectly legal to smoke it, so they could try as they might to charge me with something, but they would have a really hard time charging me with anything. You know, unless it was a crime to hurt police officers' feelings, because I would take them to task. But you know what I'm saying? So
I'm sure that's on the agenda.
I'm sure. All right, Eric, next story, please.
Next story is Biomutant's getting its current gen patch or whatever. I don't know if it's a patch or if it's an actual completely different SKU.
I think it's a different SKU, Eric.
But it's a free upgrade. So yeah. The standalone copies of the PS5 and Xbox Series versions will cost $30 or $39.99. So or €39.99 or pounds, or where it's $34.99.
I heard it's not a great game.
I still need to review it, and no, I mean, and the fact that it ran at 30 didn't make it easier for me to like.
So would 60 frames per second change your mind on this one, Eric?
Probably not, but I'd at least probably give it a higher score.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, 60 frames always helps. Like, I've been big on the 60 frames bandwagon.
I'll check that out again once one gets updated, and I can finally review the game.
Yeah. Let's see. Scotoma says, in California, if you have the keys of the ignition, then they can get you with intent. That is so dumb. Look, I have a Prius, Scotoma. So even if I were to turn the car on, per se, right, it doesn't go on. And then it goes on for just a second, and then it'll go off. So, I mean, how would that work? It's like, how would that work with me, man? Like, here in Colorado, it would be far-fetched. I mean, doing what I do, Scotoma, on my other channel, I could see them trying something like that, for sure. But it wouldn't fly, man. Like, I think I'd be firmly on the side of... Plus, I mean, now, if I went out, you know, out of the driveway and onto the street, then of course, you know, I mean, then I'm fair game. But in my driveway, good luck with that. Good luck with that, assholes. All right, Breakman, next story, please.
Coming to us live from RPG site, Squinix and Luminous Productions delay Forspoken again back to January 24th, 2023. Apparently this game's been delayed twice now.
Yeah.
But continuing the trend of honesty from developers, which I really like and appreciate, we're going to get another delay where they're saying, hey, the game isn't done yet, we want more time. And as they quote, quoting them, as a result of ongoing discussions with key partners, we've made the strategic decision to move the launch date of Forspoken to January 24th, 2023. All game elements are now complete and are now... Jesus, I can't talk today.
Well, that's
all
every
game
day
elements
for you.
Are now complete, and development is in its final polishing phase. So they're still kind of working on it. We'd like to thank you for your continued support and patience on this journey. Your excitement for the games inspires us every day, and we cannot wait to share more about Forspoken with you later this summer.
Yeah, we've talked about Forspoken. It's shaping up to look really, really good. So I don't care. Take your time. Don't pull a.
It sounds like they've got all the game ready. They just, like as they said, they want to polish it.
Yeah, let's not pull a Cyberpunk here. Let's get things all the way. And fuck you in chat, Breakman and Skodoma. You guys are exiled, you sons of bitches.
Wait, what did I say?
What did you say? Yeah, I saw that episode, man. You know what? It's all fun and games with the Prius until I go to the gas tank or the gas. Station and pay about half of you fuckers what you guys pay. So, still getting like
just his own farts.
Yeah, fuck you. I'm getting 40 to 50 miles per gallon, you sons of bitches. So I don't want to hear any shit from anybody. That's the only way I can survive, man. Like, fuck, man. I see what my parents put in. Like they have a Corolla, right? Which is fairly comparable in size to my Prius. But they're putting like $40 and $50 per tank in theirs, man. And I'm like, oof. I mean, the most I spend is up to 30, and that's if the gas prices are really high. You know, it's like, ugh.
I'm glad I work from home because I cannot afford to drive to the office every day without a raise. Like, you got to pay me more.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so they're letting you stay at home now, break? That's good. Fuck.
Yeah, I've been home for a while.
I know. Oh, look at that. Skodoma, right there. $70 to fill up your truck. Fuck that, man. I mean, why do you need a truck in California, Skodoma? Oh, I guess I know why. You're a contractor and you, like, carry a lot of, like, you know, wooden shit.
Across the border. Oh, wait, I'm sorry.
No, he does home remodeling, man, and I could see where he would need... a truck, but it always kills me. Like, here in Colorado, right, people think we're in, like, 6 feet of snow all the time. It's simply not true. You know, it's like, we get, like, maybe two major snowstorms per year. But nobody needs an SUV here at all, but everybody drives an SUV for some reason. It's like, they're afraid of those 1 to 2 times that you might need four-wheel drive, you know. It's like, I have a Prius, and all the years that I've had a Prius, I've only had trouble driving in the snow one time, and that was for a blizzard that was like, I think we got like 3 feet or something. You know, so it's like the one every 5 year major blizzard that we get. You know,
can't
I'll
you
have
just
trouble.
Stay home at that point too.
Depends.
Three feet of snow.
Like, well, I was caught in the middle of a snowstorm because I had to do something. But yeah, I made it all the way home, almost home too. I was like literally like 3 blocks away, but I just couldn't get there, so I had to park my car like, 3 blocks away, and I just walked the rest of the way.
It was too packed in snow, you mean?
Yeah, it was too compact. My Prius wasn't getting anywhere, let's just put it that way. I can't imagine like a rear wheel drive like a Mustang, man. Forget it. You can't drive anywhere. It's a Honda Ridgeline, so it's actually decent on gas. 22 miles per gallon is considered decent. I mean, that's decent for a truck for sure. But and by the way, Hondas are great vehicles. I do like Hondas. But
I kind of want to get an electric or like a hybrid, but I don't think I think there are charging stations around here, but I just don't know where because I don't really, you know.
If you get an older Prius model, Eric, you don't have to worry about charging at all.
And then I'm worried about, how's that perform under the cold weather?
It performs fine, dude. I've had no real issues. You know, it's like none at all. So one of our managers has to transfer because of gas prices. He has a bit of a drive too. Yeah, it's it's getting worse. Wyland, we're going to be talking about wages upcoming. Trust me. I like Sentras too. Nissans are great cars for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing talks Toyotas in my mind, but. You know, I mean, I've had Hondas, and I'm very admirable of Nissans, but Toyotas are the best when it comes to reliability, man, over almost anything. But the Hondas are great, and Nissans are great, too, so we're all driving really good cars. Wyland, what are you driving, man? He's probably driving like a Ford Focus or something. Oh, man. I laugh, but my first car was a Ford Tempo piece of shit, man. So, all right. Let's see. I don't know where we left off. So, Brakeman, I'm just going to go with you. Next story. Valkyrie Elysium.
The next article I have reloaded is God of War. Is that the right one? Or?
No, it's...
Well, I did Biomutant, so...
okay,
look. Brake did Forspoken, so it's
your... Biomutant, so which one's next?
Valkyrie Elysium, which looks great, by the way. Another good-looking game. Oh, he drives a Fiat. Fiats, I heard, aren't too bad.
Coming to us live from RPG... sorry, I was loading something.
Break is having like a breakdown right here on air.
Valkyrie Elysium set to release on September 29th for PS5, PS4, and November 11th for Steam. Valkyrie Profile Lenith gets PlayStation port. Additionally, Valkyrie Profile Lenith, the PSP port of the first game in the series, will also be available on the same day for the PlayStation 5 and PlayStation 4. It will be available as a standalone purchase, as well as included in a $74.99 digital deluxe edition for Valkyria Elysium.
Yeah.
However, Lenith will not see a Steam release. Square Enix Japan has also announced that port will include new rewind and quick save features. I like rewind and quick save. I like both of those.
Well, that's because it's one of those PS1 classic deals, or the PSP classic deals that they're doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
They all have like save state capabilities, basically.
Yeah. Good. You know, this game
is the most unloved system of all time.
Yeah, I know. I think this game looks really good, but if a bit drab, you know. I mean, I think graphically it looks really, really pretty, but it's just it's very drab. I don't know. It's the best way I can put it. But does good in gas.
I don't know about drab, but maybe like gloomy's the word.
I don't know, man. I think the color palette is just too gray. You know, like too muted, I guess. I don't know. It just something about it just rubs me the wrong way. Wyland, how much gas are you getting in? That's a great car, Eric the Civic. How much mileage are you getting on yours per gallon, Wyland? If you know, Fiats are smaller cars. They're a foreign car and they're a pain in the ass to fix. They're decently built vehicles for sure. So, there you go. All right. So let's see. I think Eric is the next story, or is it mine? I don't know.
It's my turn.
All right. Go ahead.
You can do the last story, Frank.
All right. I'll do the last story.
PSO2 and PSO2 New Genesis arrive on PlayStation 4 in the West August 31st. And it's basically just... technically, it's on PS5 via PS4's backward compatibility, because they didn't make an actual PS5 version of this game yet.
And why?
Probably because the game doesn't really need it.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it needs it. It looks pretty. It's very vibrant. I don't know.
Okay. Anyways, I mean, the Xbox version is just the standard Xbox One release. They didn't do any Series X stuff for it.
Freak Five's in chat. What's up, Freak
Five? It just seems weird this late in the cycle to be having games exclusively released for the old console and not the current one.
Well, when this initially launched on the Xbox, it was just the Xbox and Windows. So,
yeah. I mean,
it doesn't say anything about Steam release, but who knows?
I don't know. I think the time is pretty much past Phantasy Star up. I don't see this game doing anything new except the nostalgia factor.
Except for maybe people that wanted to play it on the PS4.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I just don't see any appeal to playing this game now.
Yeah, like, I don't get the audience for this one. When everybody else has moved on to the PlayStation 5, they're like, no, we got the PS4 right over here, baby.
I know, man. Well, I mean, they haven't sold nearly as many PS5s as they would like, so...
I mean maybe the game has better performance on a PS5, at least.
Hopefully. I mean, you would hope that. I mean, that... I think that of every game, but not every game gets that PS5 boost, man, and I don't understand it. Like, you know a game that blows my mind that they won't fucking... I don't know if they have designs on, like, a remaster, but Bloodborne. Bloodborne, I mean, there's been proven a way to fucking boost it to 60 frames per second.
Hell, they found some hackers found a way to mod the game to get rid of the 30 FPS stutter that made it perform even worse than it would otherwise. Because even though the game was running at 30 FPS, it had bad frame pacing, which made it feel worse
than
a game that with a constant 30 FPS should have.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it boggles my mind. You got one of the greatest games, if not the greatest game ever made, in Bloodborne.
Like, hire that guy and put out a fucking patch. And
And then put out
another patch that does 60.
Eric, I agree 100%. I said it from the get-go when we talked about this before. I said, hire that guy. I think we both said it, Eric. Let's hire this guy. You know, if you're from software, this guy fucking has the goods. He fucking did it. Just hire him. Let him do the patch. I mean, give him a team of like 2-3 people, and I guarantee he'll have a patch in a week, and it'll fucking fix Bloodborne. And Bloodborne is an all-time great game. Can you imagine playing Bloodborne in 60 frames, Eric? How great that would be! What a great experience that would be! I would buy it. If they told me, you have to pay $10 for this patch, I would do it in a heartbeat because that's such a great game. Bloodborne is awesome. It's probably top 5 for me, if not top 3, maybe even number 1. I'd have to...
Bloodborne is better than Dragon Quest VIII, then?
No, I'd have to think about that, Eric, but it's close. It's really close, for sure.
I thought I'd get an XL for that.
Patches never work. Eric, or Break, you're something else, dude. All right, last story. I'm going to do this last story, Break, man. God of War Ragnarok launches November 9th. So there you go. This is the big game that every PS5 owner has. And I saw video on it. It looks immaculate. I'm sure it's going
to
play.
There's more to the story here, though.
That's the perfect holiday release date, too.
It is.
That's it, Mom and Dad. I know what I want for Christmas. Like, yep. Just right.
They couldn't have.
Go buy a veteran this game.
It'll be out in time for all the big sales on the Black Friday, and you know,
yep. They got
it
a
won't be on sale, but it'll be there.
They got a standard edition, which gives you a couple of little perks if you buy day one. Digital deluxe, which gives you the game, special armor.
Let's talk about the Yatnar edition.
Hold on. I'm getting there. a bunch of in-game stuff, a PlayStation 4 theme. The Ragnarok Collector's Edition, which, let's see, printed voucher for the game. Steelbook display case, no game disc, which is weird.
Yeah, you get a download code instead. So it's so dumb.
God of War, you get a steelbook, but wow, okay.
You get a steelbook for a download code?
This is almost as bad as that Wolfenstein Panzerhund edition.
But you didn't get the game.
You didn't even get a digital code then.
Yep.
They're literally selling you an empty case.
Yes. Let's see.
So they want you to double down and buy a copy of the game to put it in.
Well, look, you get 2 inches of Vanir Twins carvings in the same style as Atreus wooden toy carvings. What else?
You'll do what with those?
Also, no free upgrades, you know, because that's exactly what they're doing now because of Forbidden West. They're like, no, you want the PS5 version now? You get to pay us $10.
You'll get a 16-inch...
They don't even have the excuse that Death Stranding had, where Death Stranding actually had new content, made it worth having to pay $10 for.
You'll get
you're getting shit edition?
Well, you're getting... Well, look what else you're getting. You're getting
an empty box, and you get some paperweights. What else you get?
A 16-inch Mjolnir replica, a highly detailed replica of Thor's signature weapon from God of War Ragnarok. So, there's your big items. The You get the digital code, but you get a steelbook case.
So you can display that in your home, and all your friends will come over and say, "Hey, you got Thor's hammer." No, this is from Ragnarok, not the... This is Thor's hammer, but it's not that...
And do you have a record player? Because you get a vinyl record of the game soundtrack.
No,
two tracks from the game. Sorry.
Oh, what the fuck? I was about to say that's pretty cool, and then you said two tracks.
It is a 7-inch record. It's not the biggest record.
Oh, that's in the Jotnar edition. Yeah. So you get
the Falcon Baron Wolfpin set. Legendary Drotner ring.
It doesn't tell you how much I'm guessing it's going to cost $200, $250.
Rocks dice.
There's
set.
A cheap prep ring in there.
Yes, there's so much stupid shit. I mean, it does come with some cool dice and a dice like D&D style, like, you know.
Can you actually use them for D&D?
depends on what they are, like how many sided dice. They are like
Yggdrasil cloth map, a steelbook display case with
like the cloth map.
Same as the previous collection.
Yeah.
Digital code rolling.
The cloth map is really cool.
And then the twin carvings and the Mjolnir replica, just like before.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I also like the cloth map.
You get like a code for all the digital stuff that was in the digital edition. So Kratos' armor and shit like that.
Yeah, the stuff that I mentioned before.
You know, the stuff that'll probably be good for the first level and then it'll be junk.
Yeah, exactly. And then you'll be like, oh, that's useless. I'll use this.
You know? I mean, I wouldn't mind that if there was like a way to upgrade it later in the game to make it better.
I don't know. But there you go.
There never is. It is always just junk.
Well, I think Dragon Quest XI did that because, like, you get the initial piece of equipment but then you can upgrade it later.
I will tell you, the game looks fucking awesome.
Definitive Edition, they actually removed the better version of the armor because they gave you the option to just swap your skin of your outfit instead, so you don't have to equip that armor every time you wanted to look that way.
Yeah. I mean, I will say it looks fantastic, the game itself. It looks graphically like it's going to be up there with the best of the best. I'm a big fan of the God of War series in general. I wish they would bring back the boobs, though. You know, I mean, that was one of the selling points of the first set. But I have to admit, they've gone in a really good direction with the...
called Ragnarok. I doubt there's any time for boob.
I know. Whatever. But there you go. All right, so there is all of the news, guys. I thought we got through that pretty quickly.
Although I can say that Coralie Barlog sucks ass. He's like the dumbass at Santa Monica Studios.
Not every time.
That's all these God
that was projects. The last set of games, Breakman. I played the shit out of those mini games, just to let you know. every chance I get, man. You know, it's like, okay. Homie discounts. Anybody have any homie discounts? They just came out with a PlayStation sale that, again, has pretty much all the same things. God of War 6. Yeah, exactly, Scotum. I don't know if you played the old God of War games, but they always had, like, a sex mini game deal.
Like him having threesomes and stuff like that.
Yeah, and they were pretty hot. They were pretty cool, but...
they were hot. That's what Frank just said. Everybody cut that out. Let's remind him of that later in life.
Feel free. it's the small pleasures in life, Breakman. You know what I'm saying? I mean, when you get my age, man, I mean, you know. All right, homie discounts. I did see, like I said, the PlayStation sale. I'll have to take a look. They just came out with it, I believe, yesterday. I haven't had a chance to really sift through everything, but you know, a lot of the usual suspects. Anything on Xbox that you saw, Break? Eric, did you see anything on the eShop? I know the eShop just had a great sale, one of their best ever.
I don't know what's going on with Nintendo right now.
Right.
But I never remember the site that you should go to if you want to look and see what the latest sales are, but it's called Deku Deals.
Oh, Deku Deals, okay. Breakman, anything in...
It's probably better than sifting through the eShop itself, because eShop's slow as shit.
Yeah.
It just doesn't have the RAM needed in order to navigate that shop efficiently.
It really does suck. I wish they would have a better online experience, period.
Nintendo is always going to be 5 years behind everybody else in online experience.
I mean, hell, even Sony's...
Freak is exiled, you son of a bitch.
Kind of garbage, because it locks up on me sometimes.
Yeah. All right, well, let's move on to what we've been playing. According to Freak,
inquiring minds want to know.
What were you saying, Break? I'm sorry. What were you saying?
According to Freak, that's how Frank asked for sex. Do you want the small pleasure?
Oh, how dare you, son of a bitch. Exiled again. So, there you go. How do you feel, Freak 5? Exiled twice on one comment. How do you feel about that?
Oh, wait, he was exiled, but not me?
Mm. Well, you're exiled too, you son of a bitch, for reading the comment.
I think that puts me one more than him,
right? I think so. I think you're up to three now, Breakman.
Yep. I wonder if we should, like, make an exile jar and see how much money you can put in.
An exile drinking game. Really haven't played anything this week, Wyland? What's wrong with you? Are you sick? What's going on? Wyland's always playing something. How dare you, Freak 5, you son of a bitch. Exiled again. How about that?
Frank pats his crotch. Hey, Bernie, do you want the small pleasure?
You are the small pleasure, Freak 5. How dare you?
Ooh, ouch.
Son of a bitch. All right, so what have you been playing, Breakman?
It's a small wonder in Frank's pants.
How dare you? You're exiled again! Damn it! Fucking break, man. You're on
I was down. Like, he just tied with me. I had to pull ahead again.
Oh, Jesus. That's what she said.
Mostly, I've only really played two games this week. Pac-Man Museum. Just playing the same game over and over and over again for the most part. I played some of the shittier games to try and unlock some of the missions and trying to get other stuff unlocked, but God, games like Pac-Man and Time, like, I want to go back to the day that was developed.
Yeah.
And yell it all. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with all of you?
Yeah, and I bet you they tell you it's a paycheck break. It's
well,
a paycheck.
They not understand because they'll be yelling in English and they're all Japanese.
Oh, yeah, well,
there you go. Well, I mean, maybe they'd understand.
Get an interpreter, man. You know, hire an interpreter, go back in time and let them know, you know. I mean, do something like that instead of going back in time and winning the $400 million lotto jackpot, you know.
Yeah, yeah, I know, something important with my life.
Yeah, exactly.
Obviously, I gotta go smack the guy who decided to put a vine in there like you're fucking Tarzan and stuff. Here's a great plague mechanic. You're Indiana fucking Pac-Man now. What the? God damn you! What the fuck?
So there's okay and then there's super okay. So what's super okay mean?
Oh, yeah. Wyland's talking about Thor Love and Thunder. I haven't seen it yet, so I think I'm gonna hold off until it comes out on Disney Plus in a month. So
probably me too, because like I won't have the energy to want to see a movie next week because stuff related to work.
Yeah, yeah. Well, mine is more money. I'm trying to save money for Vegas, which I'll be going to Vegas in September. So you know. Yeah, Wyland says good choice.
That also means no energy to go to the theater to see Black Phone either.
Ooh, Black Phone's good, man. I would highly recommend watching Black Phone if you get a chance, man. It's a great movie. Great, great movie. All right, so you've been playing Pac-Man Museum. What else, Break?
Pac-Man Museum and also Breath of the Wild, Legend of Zelda, where I did something that I've been trying to do for very long time.
You erased your save file? No, I'm just kidding.
There's multiple save files.
I don't think I'd be on the show if that happened.
There's multiple auto save files.
I think you would cry if that happened.
There's
Break.
No way you could lose his data. He could always be somewhere in that game.
I know.
Well, my Switch got dropped in the toilet. I dried it out, but it was too late.
Also, you're probably playing for Nintendo Switch Online, so your saves get uploaded to the cloud anyway.
Yeah, Skotima said, I'm trying to download 98 gigabytes for Skyrim Online. Jesus Christ, Skotima. Wow. Seen the new Batman? It was okay. I had liked the new Batman, Skotima. I'm still questioning Pattinson as Batman, but other than that,
my biggest problem with it was so goddamn dark.
It is like, dark. It is dark.
Hard to see.
We talked about it. We did a review on it. It's definitely very, very dark.
Yeah, and that's a good point. But that also makes it more like the comic book because you know he's still
like,
young and still learning, and he wasn't there yet.
He's technically post-year two. So
yeah. I thought they did a good job, Skotima, but we're just so used to like Batman being the ultimate detective that we never really get a chance to peer into his early years like that to see him evolving as a detective. You know what I'm saying? So I thought it was a good take on Batman for sure. Very gritty, but
so Universal owns the the Despicable Me series, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yes.
Where do they usually host their movies on streaming platforms?
You know what? I think Netflix. If you're asking me, Eric, I think the like Gru, like the Dream, what is it? Like the Shrek company, that they're all in the same kind of, you know, veil.
Despicable Me is
Netflix.
Despicable Me.
I'm pretty sure
it's not DreamWorks.
It's not. It's not DreamWorks.
No,
I thought it was. Oh no, it's Illumination or whatever. I don't know. I don't know if they have any. Oh, Peacock.
It's so hard to keep track of this shit anymore. You know.
I know. I know.
So I'll have to resubscribe to Peacock whenever Rise of Gru shows there. Yeah.
All right. So Breath of the Wild. What did you accomplish, Blake?
I have completed 120 shrines.
You finally did it. Did you cheat? Is the question.
For the last two, yeah. I kind of feel silly about like the last one, because it was just like I just kind of missed it, I guess.
Yeah.
It was in an area I thought I'd looked. I apparently didn't.
So. Have you done any of the shrine cheeses where you just skip steps and just like carve a path to the whatever goal?
I always do that kind of shit. Like, if there's a way to cheat the system, I'm going for the cheat the system rather than do it the right way.
Because you know? Like, I did one where I just made ice walls and climb them up instead of doing the puzzle.
I don't remember all of them. There are a lot. But mostly, like, especially if there were the ones that were motion controlled, because I have the Switch Lite, I'd definitely have to cheat on those. Like, the last one, I had to have, like, five fires going at the same time, or six fires going at the same time, something like that. So I had to block off one path with, like, I forget what wall I made or something, and then the other one to get the other lit, instead of using the fire that was there, I quit fire arrows and started shooting them on, fucking light them like that. Like, I can't get the spin the right way, so let's do this. I'll do it my own way. Fuck you guys.
Fuck you guys, I'm good.
Yeah. And then I was rewarded with this new set of armor and such like that, which means now I gotta go back to farming dragons again, goddammit. I thought I was done farming dragons. Now it's like, oh, but you need this stuff to upgrade your... Oh, I do? Fuck, okay.
Skodema says he watched Bad Guys with his kids and it was funny as hell. I'm not mildly curious about that movie, Skodema, but I'll wait till it comes out on one of the... Now I think I have all the streaming platforms. I'm pretty sure I do. I have Hulu. I have Netflix. I have fucking... What else do I got? Paramount Plus now. I got Shudder. Shudder, I'm never getting rid of.
I need to sign back up for Paramount Plus.
Yeah, I got it. I think it's worth it. $5 with the ads. I don't know. From what I've seen, it's okay.
I need to redo it. Like I said, I just haven't done it yet. Yeah. I've been busy. There's been plenty of other stuff to watch.
Oh, yeah. There's always plenty of shit to watch. I'm getting rid of Netflix soon, but there's something new that's coming out in July this month that I can't remember right now. But I'm like, I kind of want to keep it for that.
Netflix did something kind of smart with that. I know they spent billions of dollars and they released a lot of trash, but they did get some good products. And having their own definitive shows that nobody can take from them was smart.
Yes. In the long run.
Like, because no other streaming service has as many like original shows as Netflix.
Yeah,
has.
That's true too. But I still don't think it's worth it.
For me, it's like one of those things, like it's worth it every other month.
Frank, are you watching The Umbrella Academy?
I am not, Eric. I've got too much other shit to watch, man. I really do. I mean,
I'm sick of waiting for another Black Mirror, just saying.
Black Mirror, I haven't seen the latest season of, but I heard that's really good. So
I don't know if it was the latest season or if it was just like a one-off. They did this interactive episode.
Oh, I saw that. Cool. Yeah.
That was a while ago.
Toxic Crusaders.
I failed miserably, though, but... Yeah.
I heard Screambox sucks, Wyland. That's why I'm not touching that turd. I don't have Troma now, but I'm thinking of getting it, Freak 5, because that's actually... Once I get rid of Netflix, though, because I thought about it, I'm like...
There's apparently a streaming platform called Hiya, which suggests that it's all martial arts-based movies.
I'm going to get rid of Netflix, but in lieu of that, I'm keeping... Plus, Paramount Plus for a bit, and I'm also thinking of getting something else. What the fuck else was it? Trauma Now was one of them that was kind of on my radar because I like those goofy Lloyd Kaufman, you know, movies. And I've actually interviewed Leith Kaufman. He's actually really, really fun. Yeah, I saw that Terrifier 2 is going to be streaming there. While it's not worth it for me to keep that service, though, man. I mean, I was looking through it. They really don't have much, man. I mean, I'll get Terrifier 2, like, when it goes on sale for, like, $5, or I'll rent it for a couple bucks or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just don't have room to get everything, you know? It's just, I don't know. I maybe I'll rent it for that month. Like, I think it's $5 a month. I think I'll do it for, like, 1 month when Terrifier 2 comes out, and then that'll be, you know, that'll be it for me. But I think Paramount Plus is worth keeping because they got a lot of Star Trek content, and I do like Star Trek quite a bit.
I don't think they have the original series on there, though.
I don't think they do,
actually. I think Netflix still has that.
Yeah, but
really?
I'm sure
that's weird. I didn't know that.
But I think it'll go to Paramount Plus once they, you know, once the streaming rights revert back. So
yeah,
you know,
it's probably a rights issue, right?
I mean, there's only like what, like 4 or 5 seasons of the original, maybe 3.
There's like 3. Yeah. It didn't. Or 2 or 3. It wasn't on that long.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not like a huge, you know, loss or anything. I mean, I pretty much have...
You're wrong about that. It was a huge loss. It was canceled before its time.
Yeah, well, I agree, but I mean, you know, I'm as far as, like, what's missing on the platform, you know what I'm saying? All the original Trek movies are heading to 4K soon. Well, hopefully it'll be 4K...
Could that be good? Because maybe they'll be put on Paramount Plus, and then I can finally get to watching Star Trek 4.
Can I get a box set of just the even number Star Treks?
I know, right? Skodema says Hulu has all the original Star Wars. Oh, that's why.
The only good thing about 3 was that you get to see Christopher Lloyd dressed up as a Klingon. That's it.
Star Trek, yeah. I like Star Trek quite a bit.
Stupid golden disc on the fucking voice.
And by the way, Skodema, you can type in shit in this chat.
But
I don't
one
care.
Is basically about a satellite that thinks it's God. Like,
what? Oh, yeah.
Star Trek, the original Star Trek.
Yeah.
And then the fifth one is about a guy who's trying to find God. And like, oh my God.
Yeah, I know. And then doesn't he meet what he thinks is God? And then it's like horrible.
I've tried to blank as much out of that movie as I can, but I keep, and as much as I try, like, I can't forget the whole Bones, like, his crying about his dead parent or something, like his mom, like. And I pulled the plug, and then the next day they found the cure. Like, oh my God, who wrote this?
Yeah, exactly, man. I don't know, man. What does God need with the starship? Weyland says, yeah. I don't know. I like the Star Trek movies because they were groundbreaking, and well, the series for sure. And then, like you said, the even numbered Star Trek movies,
yeah,
like,
yeah, it's so weird.
Rapacon
really is that way. Even numbered movies are all fucking good.
Yep,
they're good.
Rapacon is
number ones are all bad.
Even though Star Trek Generations is technically not numbered.
No, I don't. I'm not counting like the Generations. Type
yeah,
and,
just the
First
main,
Contact.
Yeah.
Just First Contact is my favorite. Sorry.
Yeah. All right, we need to move on here. Eric, what have you been playing, man?
I've been playing more of AI Somnia Files, Nirvana Initiative. I cleared that, got the platinum, so then I moved on to Xenoblade 2 Torna, and that's all I've been really playing.
All right, the only thing I've really been playing, the same thing, Salt and Sanctuary. I'm getting a little bit better with parrying, but man, leveling up doesn't really do much for you in that game, to be honest, man. It's a brutally hard game, Salt and Sanctuary. And I did advance a little bit.
Well, like, unless it's a stat that's associated with your weapon, leveling doesn't really help.
Yeah. I have advanced a little bit in Shibuya Scramble, finally. I finally got to the next hour. I was like, wow, yes, finally. There was
the other two stats that are important are equipment load and stamina. But other than that, it's it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Salt and Sanctuary is just, you either get good or just forget that game, man. I mean, that's the way it is. So, all right, let's move on to
RP Grinders Reviews.
All right, RP Grinders reviews here. Break, do you have a review this week? I didn't see one for you, Eric. No. I think you're working on something.
No, I don't want to review something like The Boys because you haven't seen the last season of The Boys.
I have not, but I did start it, I will say, and I saw that first episode, and oh my word.
Oh my God.
Holy shit, that first episode of season three, Break, is all I'm going to say.
Yeah, that one, like the incident with Termite was just like, oh my god, it just kept getting worse and worse.
I don't know what to say, but I'll be talking about it next week because I'm going to finish it.
You've got to binge them because you've got to get to the Herogasm episode.
I'm going to. We'll get there this week, man, I promise. But I do want to review Beavis and Butthead Do the Universe. I don't know if you guys have had a chance to see that.
I haven't yet.
Oh, okay.
I'll take my headset off so you can go spoiler.
No. I'll keep it till next week. Can you watch it for next week's show, Break?
Yeah, sure. I'll do that. All right. Yes.
Did you see Stranger Things Chapter 4, the entirety? Break.
I haven't even watched season 2 yet.
How do I talk about how badass Eddie is, and even though I'm
Eddie not is a the fan, fucking best.
That was one of the most badass scenes I've ever seen in the television.
Okay,
show.
I'm
no
so
idea what you're talking
okay.
About right now.
Good.
It's about a guy playing a guitar, basically.
Okay, I want to talk about this. So if you haven't seen Stranger Things Chapter 4 in its entirety, both parts, the last two episodes were kind of, you know, I don't know why they just do two episodes, but...
Well, the last episode was 2.5 hours long.
That is true. If you have not seen Stranger Things Chapter 4, please, for the next 5 minutes or so, take off your earbuds or fast forward or whatever, because we're going to spoil things, because...
So we give you a safe word, and the safe word is...
Holy shit. No.
Holy shit, no. Banana, the safe word.
Yeah,
banana.
Okay. So, I'll give you a chance right now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We're going into
banana.
Spoilers.
Oh, wait.
No. we're going into spoilers right now. Oh my God, Breakman, you brought up one of the coolest fucking best scenes I have ever seen in any series in my entire life.
It was
badass. It was, dude. I'm getting goosebumps just thinking of it. That's how badass it was, man. Like that was one of the greatest things I've ever seen. First of all, Metallica, Master of Puppets, right? That's the song that was played, and in context, right? Let's go over the whole.
And it matched what was going on. The lyrics matched.
Holy shit, dude! It was so awesome, man.
Like I said, I'm not a Metallica fan, but I was fucking, like, this scene is amazing.
I am one of the biggest Metallica fans ever. Full disclosure, I had no idea Metallica's song was going to be used, and in this way, and in this fashion, Breakman, you can't help but get geeked for that scene, dude. It was the fucking best.
Yes.
It was just the best, man. This season fucking rocked. It's up there in the pantheon of greatest seasons ever, and Eddie's character is one of the greatest characters I've ever seen written for TV in the history of writing. It was great. This season was awesome. It centers around, of course, the kids going up against Vecna, the baddie. There were a lot of Nightmare on Elm Street vibes I got from this season break, and Robert Englund had a cameo.
I know, that was pretty fucking cool.
Which was cool. It visually was fantastic. Go ahead, break. What were you going to say?
I was going to say the casting is what, shows like this, like, they just cast so well. Like, the guy who plays Vecna, like, just watching him in interviews and stuff like that, like, he really kind of gets what's going on, and he talks about, like, the tragedy of his character, you know?
Oh, yeah, like, yeah.
It's his character was tortured by the doctor, you know?
Yeah, and that doctor got what was coming to him, that piece of shit.
And I knew from the second that first season ended, he was still alive. I've been saying it forever, and every season it starts, I'm like, he's going to be in this one. And then they started the season with that flashback of him, and I was like, yeah, see, I knew it! And it was a flashback. I was like, maybe he's still in it. And then he shows back up, like, yes, see, I was right.
By the way, there was no scene with Eddie's funeral. There was no, none of that. So there's a possibility Eddie could be back. That character is badass, man.
Well, see, the thing is, Eddie, when the show ended, like, he's on the lam. Like, they're hunting for him. They blame him for a lot of stuff.
Yes, they do. And that was a potent scene with Dustin at the end with the father. He was like, you know, he started crying. And he's like, you know, I just want to let you know that he was a hero. Because he was. He was the hero of this season. Eddie was the hero. Because Eddie was the only one that really was selfless and, like, put his own life on the line for everybody else. He's like, I got to do this. Otherwise, nothing's going to work. He was the glue. You know, he was the only reason that they had the time to battle. No, Scotoma, they didn't show him die. No. They showed him getting fucked up, for sure.
I think they showed him dying. Like, for sure he was dead.
No, man.
It's not saying that he won't be back. Like, Billy died in the season 3, but he was in the season throughout, you know.
Yeah, Billy did die, but Eddie, you know, if they would do like Eddie as an angel in the next season, that would be pretty badass, like him coming back and stuff, but hey, if he died and he's gone, then more power to him, because that was a great performance by a British actor. I had no idea he was British until after I saw the season finale. Like, I had no clue. Like, there was nothing. Usually I can point out, oh, that dude's, he's British. I can tell he's British, because they'll make, like, certain little, you know, like, sort of British, like you know.
I can honestly never tell.
Sometimes I can.
Sometimes I think of the British actor or something. Like, every time it's like, oh, they're British. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Every single time, I can never tell.
Sometimes I can, man. I'll pick him out.
From Hugh Laurie. He famously played an House. American doctor, and he's saying, I didn't really watch the show, but House, yeah.
Yeah.
He's saying back in England, like, everybody could tell his accent was fake, and they give him crap for it.
Yeah.
I'm like, how do they all tell? Like, I live here. I thought you were American until I heard an interview.
Yeah, no. Well, Hugh Laurie was actually a great British actor before he did that show. So I knew he was British, but dude, Eddie, I can't remember that dude, he was a perfect choice for that role, man. And looking at him, he, like, has short brown curly hair. You would never associate him as, like, a rocker, you know, like an Eddie type of character, but he was pitch perfect, dude. I mean, it couldn't have been better. And then the whole Russia thing with Winona Ryder and Hopper and that whole subplot going on over there was pretty fantastic and well written, man. Like, it perfectly blended, like, what was going on in the world of Stranger Things, even though that half of the crew was in Russia. You know, it couldn't have been better, man.
And I'm hoping next year they're going to all be together. Like, we'll see them, like, for the final season, that they are together for that, you know.
Yeah, that would be cool. I mean, there's going to be a time jump. They did say there was going to be a time jump, so. And I don't understand why it's the last season, man. They can go 3, 4, 5, 6 more seasons, and I'd be okay with that, man.
Well, because I think they've pretty much set it up as Vecna is the evil. Like, once he's gone, like, that's it, you know. There's no, we're not going to have a problem with the Upside Down ever again.
Well, there's always a bigger evil, you know what I'm saying? It's like,
right, I mean, they could always go back with, like, the Mind Flayer, but they already beat the Mind Flayer.
Yeah, you know? Well, I mean, there could always be a bigger, badder, you know, worse enemy, but hey, I'm okay with it, because they're coming out with a spinoff series, which is going to be fantastic. You know what I mean?
And not only that, I like it when a story completes and not just keeps going on and on and on and on when there's no, with no real end planned, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think
I like if a story can keep going on and keep developing its characters and stuff like that, but you could have an ending at some point.
I think the Duffer brothers planned for 7 seasons, and since the pandemic took away 2 seasons of that, I think it's going to end perfectly with 5. I think they had to adjust a little bit, but I think it's going to end fairly well.
I use shows like 24, which 24, I love that show, but it did not need to be 24 episodes, and there's so many filler and crap episodes in those shows.
Yeah.
Because, like, they're trying to fill 24 episodes when, you know, doesn't necessarily need 24 episodes.
God, that was such a good show, dude. I like the real-time aspect of it, but I agree with you. They could have, you know, they could have just, like, skipped, like, half of those episodes and, like, say, this happened in, you know, this gives you a recap of what happened. They, you know, went over here.
Don't know what to do to the daughter, so she was kidnapped by a guy who hunts in the woods.
This yeah. Like, what? That was so dumb, yeah. I do like 24, though. It was a great show. That I liked Prison Break for a bit there, too, but they fucked that show up. Pretty bad.
Yeah. It did have a great comeback episode, but Prison Break is one of the example of a show that's going on too long where they don't have really an ending in mind. They eventually came back and gave it an ending, a proper ending, but you could tell like they just didn't know what to do, so let's keep extending it and we'll add some new characters here.
You know what the deal is?
Been in prison for like 3 years at this point.
You know what it is, Break? They try to get it up to 7 seasons for syndication purposes, but now with streaming services, like syndication is almost like a thing of the past. You know what I mean? I mean, the streaming rights are where it's at, you know? So I think if you do 5 seasons, I think you're okay. You can get good streaming rights for those 5 seasons, you know? So, love watching the white dude get pulled apart as the portal opens. Kodama said,
that guy was like, at the same time, like I know he was an asshole, and you know he's kind of represented as a bad guy. But at the same time, can't you like kind of get it? Like his girlfriend was brutally murdered, and he doesn't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah,
I mean he definitely jumped to conclusions, which makes him the bad guy. But I'm saying at the same time, like he's sympathetic. Like there's not
the writing
there's
was
not, there's nobody who's any that's just evil to be evil, really.
Yeah,
like even the doctor himself is a bit sympathetic, you know, because you get the idea that he actually does in fact care about Eleven.
Yeah. All right, well, I mean, what are you giving?
Yes. Okay, we need to move on.
What are you giving Stranger Things real quick? Season 4.
It's a perfect score. It's one of the best shows that I've ever seen.
It's a 10 out of 10 for me too, Break. I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. I think it's must watch TV. I think that's the one thing that is going to save Netflix, the one show that could bring people in. I can't think of anything else that Netflix would bring people in. I know Amazon is doing, and I'm excited for this. I wasn't, but did you see the trailer for the Lord of the Rings series that's coming out? Oh my god, dude, it looks fucking good. It looks good. It's going to be badass. I mean, I'm looking forward to that.
It's got high expectations, so you know, it's got a lot to deliver on.
Yeah, it's looking good. I'm looking forward to that too. So,
I'm sorry, banana. We can move on.
Banana, yeah, for sure. Okay, Eric, let's get Eric back here. Eric, come back. Come back. There we go. All right, let's move on to everybody's. And next week I'll have a Beavis and Butthead Do the Universe.
Review. It, yes.
Please watch it, Break, yes. Because boy, do we got a lot to cover on that show. And then I will watch The Boys season 3, and we'll do a full review of that too.
Oh my god, so. Yes! Oh my, like the Boys and Stranger Things are two perfect examples of great writing and great casting.
I agree. I 100%, but we'll talk more about The Boys season 3.
And I know this is we're going to talk about Boys next week in season 3. But Jensen Ackles, the Soldier Boy in this the show is completely different from the one in comics, and he acts it perfectly.
Yeah,
he's fantastic as that character.
Yeah,
Soldier Boy.
All right, here we go.
Ah, what is it?
Stinko of the week.
All right, Breakman, your Stinko of the week.
One was the storm that knocked out the power and made me have to throw away food and shit like that. I hate having to do that. It's fucking bullshit. And no television and no way to charge your phone unless you want to go sit at a coffee restaurant, which I don't drink coffee in.
You might go out in public and shit. Invest in a small generator, right?
Well, my neighbor has one, so I used to keep the fridge going after the fact because I didn't know. It was too late to save some of the food, which also meant that I couldn't go anywhere, though, once that was done. Like, I'm going to plug one through my door here.
Yeah.
And shut the door. Yeah. Anyway, the other one goes to the state of Ohio. I mean, Mike DeWine is a piece of shit, like I've always said. I said the worst idea ever would be to elect that guy to governor. Well, we got him, and yeah, he's been a horrible piece of shit. And there's a story come out earlier this week, which seems to be, like, nobody seems to know if it's actually real or not, but it's something that has happened before. A 10-year-old girl apparently was raped and got pregnant, and she was unable to get an abortion because in Ohio, she was past 6 weeks pregnant.
And even if the story was end up fake, like you said, there is precedent for it, and
yes,
it's also proof of what will definitely happen in the future.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And if that's the case, if it is, I mean, if it's real, what's happened is horrible. Obviously, she couldn't get an abortion. She had to go to another state. Luckily, she had the means to go to another state and get one. But, I mean, just the fact that, and DeWine was asked about it, and he kind of just danced around it. Like, you know, like, this isn't my fault in any way, and it's such a horrible thing, and how did this happen? And
I don't understand government getting involved in any health decision at all. I don't.
This comes down to control. They just want to control us.
Yeah, it is. It's government control.
Or, you know, taxing the poor, because that's exactly what it is.
Yep. Well, I was talking to Bernie about this, and I touched on it a little bit last week. I think that the overturning of Roe v. Wade is just going to cause a lot of economic havoc for the states that impose those stupid rules, because a lot of people are going to leave. It's plain and simple. I mean, half of the country thinks
it's not easy, though.
No, it's not.
Money's an issue. Family's an issue. Like, there's a lot of things.
Well, just think about it, though, Brake. If even 10% of the people move out, that's a big percentage, and that's going to hurt the economy in those states.
I'm just saying most people aren't advantageous enough, or don't have the ability, is what I'm trying to say. Like, they just, it's not fair.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm trying to say. But the whole this is just about states' rights issue and stuff like that. So it makes me so fucking mad. Basically, yeah, you took human rights that are above what the government should be interfering in.
I agree.
Say the state government should interfere in it.
Yeah.
The federal government was saying we shouldn't interfere. Now,
right.
And you're taking it and sending it back to the state, saying that the
right.
state should.
It's one of the few instances where I think federally they got it right, and you know, individual state. Like I said, I think this is just going to affect their economy, because it's going to bring, in all actuality, it's going to bring less healthcare money to those states, and I mean the implications are pretty far and wide, and I think women are the key to the whole thing. I really do. I think women need to talk with their dollars, because they're more than half of the country now. They're a majority. So, I mean, it's a slight majority. I think it's like 51-49 to men, or
but a lot of those are Republican too.
Well, I mean,
I think people underestimate how many people support Republican values and stuff like that. And
no, I think it's a gerrymandering issue, Brake.
Well,
I don't
too, but they're. When the president is a guy like Joe Biden, the other side gains power. They gain steam and support.
Well, that's true, but he's also
because
Republican.
Joe Biden's horrible. Like,
he's
pushes
horrible.
People to the other side.
Yeah, well,
just
not
like
only
Trump
that.
Did, you know?
Not only that, he's also a Republican. You know what I mean? Right. So it's like, you know, I don't know. But
just like, Trump pushed a lot of people to go out in like record numbers to go out and vote against him. I don't see like people going out in record numbers to vote to support Biden, you know? Unless he goes up against Trump again.
No, I think the only thing that they can do is they can put up Kamala, because, you know, she's a woman and a woman of color, and they're going to play to the identity politic bullshit fucking nonsense like they did with Obama. And,
he sounded terrible in his interview today. Like, he's kind of stuttering and tripping out. He sounds like me, basically.
He's awful, man. He's just... you know, he just sucks. I mean, it's sad. I mean,
his whole issue was vote, vote, vote. You know, we got to get out there and vote. We need two more senators to help us get the vote.
Oh, God, like, that's so stupid.
You've got 50 senators right now.
Well, he needs two more to combat the two Republican senators he has in his party, Sinema and Manchin. That's
instead
what he's
of punishing
about.
Them in any way. Like, as I'm to understand, Manchin has... he's on a few boards.
Yeah, take him off the committees. Yeah, they won't even take him off the committees. It's ridiculous.
No, if Republicans did this, like, Trump would punish them. You know, that's how he got shit done.
Right.
Like he, and it worked.
That's one thing about Trump. You know, none of us liked him because of his racist ideologies and some other things. But he, you know, when he wanted something to go his way, he would do that. He would say, punish this guy. Do this. Do this. And when it happened, it worked.
Yep.
You know?
Because they're not used to being held accountable in Washington, or used to doing whatever the hell they want and giving us meaningless placate. Like Nancy Pelosi's, let's read a poem when they strike down the
Oh, my God, dude. Like, I can't tell you how much I hate Republicans and Democrats, man. In Congress, I love the American people. I think that, look, we all agree on 70% of the issues. All of us. Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians, Independents. The people of the United States agree on 70 to 80% of everything. We all want higher wages. We want a better economy. You know, we want, you know, better health care, all these things, we fucking agree, 70-80% of us. But the politicians prevent us from getting where we need to be. All the politicians in this country are corrupt. They are corrupt to the fucking core. I can't stand any of them.
And they like to divide us instead of trying to get us together working on the problems. They want to worry about things that they should have no business interfering in. Like, they want to start a war with, like I said a couple weeks ago, they want to start a war with, like, the transgendered people. Like, as somebody wants to read a story in a library just because they're transgendered, or immediately from Ted Cruz, that person's a pedophile, and you gotta go after this person and stuff like that. And instead of dealing with, you know, we got high gun deaths right now, people are struggling at the pump, they're struggling at the grocery store, let's not worry about that, let's go worry about this over here.
Right.
Is what our elected officials do with us.
And
this reminds me of, like, something I read earlier this week, where apparently there's this organization that's basically, it's a sports organization for, like, Olympics and, like, stuff like track and field, and, like, stuff like that. But they're now questioning the womanhood and the womanness of, like, women athletes, even cis women. It's like, oh, you have this build, so yet you're too man and enough to, like, be this bracket. We're gonna get rid of you or something. Like,
Scotoma says, do you guys remember when Biden said he was going to unite the people? I remember when Trump said it. I remember when Barack Obama said it. I remember when Reagan said it. I remember when Jimmy Carter said it. They all fucking say the same thing, Scotoma, and none of them ever fucking do it. They're all interested in their own fucking pockets. That's it. They all suck. I'm sorry, Eric. Continue.
Anyways, it basically comes down to them just, like, it's an excuse to basically purge, like, competitors. And this has all happened because of the transgender bans. And now they're questioning cis women. And this is only coming after, you know, the decision of Roe versus Wade. So now they're going to roll back participation rights for people who are in sports.
Okay. See, I have a theory about this, and it goes back to what you were saying, Brake, about division, right? The Supreme Court, they didn't necessarily want the ramifications of overturning Roe v. Wade. What they wanted to do was divide the country again, right? Because we're all divided upon party lines. You either think democratically or you think the way a Republican thinks in this country, right? Because we got a two-party system. Now you're going to have half of the country advocating for more, you know, women's rights as far as abortion goes, and you're going to have the other half that's religious and don't want that to happen. So now we've been pushed back 50 years. You see what I'm saying? So now we're going to have to fight that battle in order to get back to the other battles, like, you know, saving the environment and, you know, lessening oil costs. How about having no oil costs? That would be nice, right? I mean, all kinds of shit like that. Like, we're going to have to fight to get back to where we were in order to go forward. And by that time, I've already said, by the year 2043, we might not even have a country to even worry about anymore. You know, it's really going that way. You know, it's
well, some people are advocating for war and actually, seriously talking about civil war and seceding from the nation and stuff like that.
Here's the article I was thinking of from LGBTQ Nation. Two more cis black women banned from Olympics for their natural testosterone levels.
So, I don't have a problem with that, Eric.
From the 400 meter dash because they have too high in testosterone levels, even though they're cis women.
Well, check this out, Eric. I actually am okay with that based on this principle, and they can change the rules if they want, right? But the reason that I'm okay with that portion of it, there were specific testosterone level limits, and for a reason. Like, it's the same thing in MMA, right? If you're fighting in the UFC, if your testosterone levels are above a certain amount...
Clearly the answer to this is to redraw the limits.
Yeah, I agree. But right now, as it stands, I'm okay with that.
I don't think they're going to do that, and that's the problem.
Yeah, well, I mean, because if you do
especially
that...
Especially because they're black, and it's seen, and this is going to be seen as them just, you know, being against black people.
Yeah, I know. It's a tricky one, Eric, but I'm actually okay with the decision to ban those two particular because of their testosterone levels, because there has to be a limit on testosterone, because if you're okay with higher testosterone limits, then the other women are going to start shooting up testosterone, man. You know what I mean? There has to be...
Yeah, but they're not taking testosterone. They have it naturally in
their bodies. I know. Now, they could carve out exemptions. They could carve out exemptions. That might be a way to go. I don't know. But you see what I mean? If you mess with the levels, then it's going to be okay for a woman to inject some performance-enhancing testosterone drugs that give them a competitive advantage. It's like the whole baseball thing, and why they're, you know, it's such a debate in baseball about, you know, the performance-enhancing drugs. Like, if you give yourself performance-enhancing drugs, of course you're going to hit more home runs or be a little bit faster than the guy that doesn't take it. You know, it's just...
I'm sick of the argument. Well, that doesn't make you, like, hit the ball easier. Like, you still got the hand-eye coordination. Yeah, but when you hit the ball, you're knocking it, like, 100 yards more than anybody else can.
Yes, you know? yes, exactly. And
so,
there's
you are getting an advantage. Don't fucking try and sugarcoat that shit.
Yeah. There is an advantage to
taking. So you're saying that trans athletes shouldn't be competing against cis athletes?
No, I think there needs to be
athletes are on hormones to suppress.
Yeah, to suppress
and to lower their testosterone.
Yeah, but it only applies to women.
Yeah, but there's the
trans men will have naturally lower testosterone levels than cis men will.
Yes, but if you take...
No, we're talking about women's sports again. I'm confused. What are we talking about?
No, what I'm saying, Eric, is like...
Trans women will have higher testosterone levels because even with all the blockers and everything, they can't suppress everything.
Well, they actually can get to a level that is within range.
Yeah, like what's her name? Gina Thomas, like... She was within the testosterone levels.
Yeah, yeah. You can get there, Eric, but it does take a lot of hard work and drugs and all kinds of shit. But I agree, there has to be...
Like, this sounds like it kind of flies in the face of what Brakeman was trying to say earlier. Like, put people in the skill brackets.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, I like that too. I think if you're a higher skilled athlete, then I'm okay with you.
Segregating men and women, they can segregate. They could have divisions based on skill instead of divisions based on men and women.
Yeah, I mean, and if it's just those two competing against each other, well, then that's what you get, right? I mean,
issues like testosterone and estrogen, stuff like that, aren't going to be issues.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess then one could make the argument, well, what were your testosterone levels? Well, what were your testosterone? You know, I don't know, man. I don't know the answer. It's not an easy answer to anything. All I know is people are people, and if people identify as a woman, they identify as a woman. If they identify as a man, they identify as a man. And, you know, if they're gender fluid, they're gender fluid. I mean, who am I to say? I don't care. I mean, as long as nobody's fucking with me and you know, saying I got to do this and that, I don't have a problem at all with anybody, ever. It's skin color, you know, man, woman. I do. I identify as a pothead. I'm definitely of the pothead gender. So, you know, I mean, that there you go. And you guys heard my story, and I'm sticking to it. I smoke weed in my car. You know, like, the end. But there you go, man. All right, let's... Where do we leave off here? All right, Eric, your stinko of the week.
Before that, I want to go back.
I actually do have another stinko.
Oh, I'm sorry, Brakeman. Go ahead. Breakman, go ahead.
I wasn't done with State of Ohio. For State of Ohio, what's the one thing that cops are really good at and across this country? Shooting unarmed black men. Well, the cops in Akron, Ohio, shot an unarmed black man in the back 60 times.
Yeah,
I saw that, man. And the guy that the Highland Park shooter was arrested peacefully. I don't get it.
Not sure at all.
I don't get it.
60 times. Yeah. He's an unarmed black man. They said they saw him reaching for his waistband.
Oh, boy.
He didn't have anything in his fucking waistband. What the fuck does that have to... Because you assumed he had a gun. I mean, apparently they found a gun in the car and stuff like that, but there was no indication that he had one at the time. And what's the reason for shooting someone 60 times?
Scotoma. His pronouns
are... I mean, like, 5 times I could see, but 60 times? Like, that's just...
Maybe they have a quota they have to fill out for how much they purchased from the NRA.
No, look, here's my thing. Like, they wanted to make sure he was dead. That's a good way of making sure he was dead, right? I mean, that's the M.O. I mean, that's the M.O.
I mean, 50 cents if he lives, he'll sue us,
so we need to kill him. So we got to make sure.
Yeah, we got to make sure. We don't want any witnesses to this, the whole thing. You know, we can't have him speaking.
On several video cameras, or several cams.
I know, but that don't matter.
Several angles.
Yeah. Scotoma says his pronouns are bong and bong self.
Okay, now you're just being...
I love that, Scotoma. That's awesome, man. Yeah, I'm bong and bong self. All right, what else, Break? Anything else?
Yeah, no, I'm not saying, like, he was an innocent guy. Because, they found a gun on him, like I said, in the car, and he was shooting out the window. But, like, the whole 60
fucking times is ridiculous. That's ridiculous. And there was you know, if they were to shoot at him at the time that he was shooting, that's one thing. But it's like when somebody gets put in cuffs, Gotama, it's over. You're in cuffs, it's over. You don't beat on a guy. Don't, you know, it's fucking over. You know what I mean? He's not going to run anywhere. I mean, it's just, I don't know.
You don't put your knee on his back of his head for 9 minutes, you know?
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. I mean, I understand, like, he was a dangerous guy, but, you know, I don't know.
It's the narrative, you know, an unarmed black man shot in the back by a cop. They shot him 60 times. I don't... who are they shooting at? Godzilla?
Right, Godzilla, man.
Gee, were they all on LSD or something? It's like,
I don't fucking know, man. It's sad. Like, 60
there's
times.
There's Michael Myers. Keep shooting. Keep shooting. He's not going down.
Fuck, man. 60 times, man. That is ridiculous. And he had to have went down on the ground before they shot him some more, right? I mean...
Well, once he was down after the 60 shots, guess what they did?
Was shot him some more?
No.
Handcuffed him? Handcuffed him?
Yes, handcuffed.
Of course.
He was dead, but they handcuffed him.
Of course. And nobody checked for his pulse, I bet, either. You know? I mean, you know. All right. Anything else, Break?
No. Just the state of Ohio is like, we want dead children and dead... Well, I guess I think he was, 20 or something like that, so he's pretty much a child, too.
I know. It's just getting worse. Police are out of control. I've said it several times, man. They cuffed him after they shot him. Yeah, it's crazy. All right, Eric.
Before I get into my stinkos, I wanted to give a little mini-review based on my experience with the demo of Live Alive, which I think people should check out because it's coming out in, 2 weeks. This is a remake of Square Enix's RPG that only released on the Super Famicom because Square back then was just, meh. Plus the situation with putting out on RPGs in the West was just tricky precision in general, but thankfully it's getting remade, and it's using the Octopath Traveler engine, and the game looks really pretty, and it's got voice acting, and it's basically like a series of short stories, and it's kind of Saga in the same way, because there's 8 of these stories, and Octopath Traveler even, because there was 8 there, but you have completely different party members and storylines in each of these, which are separate, which is what I kind of wish Octopath Traveler was supposed to be. I wish it was like that. Instead you just end up hiring the characters that exist within that roster, and that they just help you out and the character stories themselves. And you're just going to the same areas doing different things. But in this game, there are completely different scenarios. There's only three stories you can play as. One of them is like the distant future where you're playing as a robot named Cube, but you can rename him in whatever you want if you don't like the name Cube. But it's kind of funny because he's a little spear-shaped robot with roller skate legs. The other one's playing as an old man who's named Shifu, which is just Chinese for teacher, but whatever. He's looking for three students to succeed his martial art school and pass on his knowledge before he passes. The other story is about you playing as a ninja during the Edo period. And you basically have to infiltrate a castle and take down one of the lords there and rescue anybody that might be captured. Each of them, those stories isn't the full story, though. But the save progress will transfer over, so you can only play up to a certain point in each of the stories. But battle system is kind of like a strategy RPG, and unlike other RPGs, you don't have any MP. You can do whatever attack you want, but different attacks have different cooldowns. So, like, if you use a really powerful attack, it might be a while before you can do something else again. So the enemy might gang up on you, and your position is kind of important. So it's kind of tactical, but it's actually pretty simple. But it's also kind of entry level because I mean the game isn't too difficult, but you just got to know what you're doing and like learn the ins and outs of like what like different abilities will do because some of them have like status effects and stuff like that. So you should all check it out if you're into JRPGs, and that's all I'll have to say on that.
All right, you're Stinko, Eric.
The creator for Yu-Gi-Oh, Kazuki Takahashi, is dead at age 68. Just 60. He was found off the coast of Nago in Okinawa wearing snorkeling gear, so something happened when he was doing snorkeling. I guess it's just a pastime of his, like, just go swimming with snorkel gear, and I'm guessing, like a stingray or something, like, stung him, and he was paralyzed. And then he ended up drowning because of it. He started his career in the 80s, but his big success came out around 1996 when he published the first Yu-Gi-Oh! Story in Weekly Shonen Jump.
Yes.
And he eventually went on to be one of the animators of the Yu-Gi-Oh! Series.
Yeah. Wyland says, I wonder how hard Disney's going to come down on the person who redid Kenobi as a 2.5-hour movie. Wow. I can't believe. I need to watch Obi-Wan. I haven't seen it yet. I heard it mixed reviews on it, so that's why I'm hesitant on watching it.
So that's kind of shitty, but strangely enough, like only a day later. Here's why my Sweeto.
Wait. We're not on Sweetos yet, man.
I know, but I'll just transition since okay. I'm on roll here.
All right.
But you can just skip me when it comes to Sweetos. Right. Shinzo Abe has been assassinated.
Yeah, he's. I mean, I don't advocate.
Sure, like assassinations are terrible, but like he's dead now, so yay.
Yeah, he was a terrible human being, man. Shinzo Abe is fucking worthless.
Still.
Look, Breakman, we've discussed this before. I don't think there's anything wrong in like reveling in somebody that was worthless's death. I don't think there is.
There's such a difference between like they died of a heart attack and they were assassinated.
Yeah, now, I understand like, that, and that's
now he's a martyr for one thing.
Yeah,
so
that's
if you don't like him. Like he just became a hero.
Yeah, and that's
he's
another
in the history books now.
It's definitely a stinko in that regard, for sure, because I don't advocate any violence.
I'm mentioning it here, so that's another reason. It's like, but
but also, if somebody was murdered, I mean, that's the
worst. Here's some of his personal history. He's a member of the fascist group Nippon Kaigi, which is an ultra-nationalist, pro-imperial Japan organization that basically controls most of what goes on in that country. But they're known for exaggerating, fabricating, or praising Japanese colonialism for liberating Asia from the West. I'm reading a thread here from Twitter of things that they've done. And 2014, 15 out of 18 of Abe's cabinet were Nippon Kaigi members. And he praised his grandfather, Nobuyuki Kishi, who played in leadership role for Imperial Japan. At the end of World War II, he was imprisoned as a war criminal. But the U.S. government never charged him, so he became Japanese prime minister and said, so yay, U.S., you really fucked the pooch there. But, anyways, he visited the Yasukuni Shrine on multiple occasions, despite opposition from China and Korea, which enshrines Japan's war criminals. So why do you have a shrine for war criminals, Japan?
Why do we have Confederate statues?
Yeah, there you go. I mean, that's a bunch of traitors. Yeah.
Basically, he refused acknowledgement of Japan's World War II sexual slavery, known as euphemistically as the comfort woman.
Yep.
One of those deniers, huh?
Yep. 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 So and, that's what I'm saying.
So he downplayed the significance of the war crimes, and he downplayed the sex slavery that happened, which is also another war crime.
Yep. No, I agree.
And then there was the whole racism with South Koreans and Zenichi Koreans, which, if you don't know what a Zenichi Korean is, they're basically Koreans that were basically made slaves in Japan, and they couldn't go back to their home country, even after the war ended. And the Zenichi Koreans that exist today are just descendants that were here because they were basically forced to become Japanese citizens.
Yep, yep.
But they're also treated like second-class citizens.
Yeah, so, look.
That sounds like America, too.
Yeah, look, I am no fan
basically
of violence.
Japan's version of black people.
I think you can do both, Breakman. You can condemn the violence, right? But right. not exalt the human being. You know what I'm saying? So, am I glad he's dead? Yes. Am I glad that he died in that fashion? No. I think both things can be true. You know what I'm saying?
I said, also, like, if you're not, like, if you're somebody who hates him, like, he's now a hero to a lot of people.
Yeah, well,
because,
I understand
across
that.
The globe, like, it was, like, universally condemned, you know?
Yeah, no, and I understand that, but he was a piece of absolute fucking trash.
I'm not saying he wasn't, and I'm not saying he deserves any praise. That's not what
I know.
And I'm going to add to that, into my stinko, which, apparently a French politician, try to accuse Hideo Kojima of being the assassin.
Oh, they caught the assassin. That's so ridiculous.
But he tried, because he played on the ignorance of people not knowing what he looked like to try to, like, make
why?
Look bad. Because he's a racist piece of shit. That's why.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, we need to move on. My stinko real quick. I got a couple.
I just want to mention, Japan's elections are in 2 days, so he was campaigning when he died.
Yeah.
He can't be the MP or prime minister anymore, but he's definitely running for some other position.
Modelo.
Or promoting somebody else, you know.
Ooh.
But, anyways, the last line here says, Japan's elections are in 2 days. The defense budget, constitutional reform, and anti-discrimination measures are all on the line, and people are worried that this incident is going to have an escalation of violence and laws that are even more unjust.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're having as much unrest as we are here. So, I mean, you know. Modelo sounds good to write about now, Skonema. Stop it! I'm not done with the show yet. So, all right. Here we go. Rip James Caan, best known for his turn on Misery and Godfather. And Elf. He was in Elf as well. So, although, you know, James Caan didn't seem like a really nice guy in real life, to be honest. Every interview I've ever seen with him, he's kind of snotty, but still, you know, it's James Caan.
It could just be because he just didn't want to be there.
Yeah, maybe he was just tired or whatever, I don't know, but, all right.
I mean, even still, like, even, and we've talked about this before, even if he was, like, a
like a shitty person in real life, we can still memorialize his career.
It's like how I feel about football players like O.J. Simpson and Lawrence Taylor. Like, they did awful things off the field, but on the field.
Well, Lawrence Taylor did awful things on the field, too.
Well, yeah. I mean, terrorizing quarterbacks, number one. But but he's still, you know, great football player, no doubt. Yeah. Alright, but my second goes to former Education Secretary Bill Bennett, right? I was watching a little bit of Fox News. I don't know why I torture myself, but he suggested that exorcisms would curb school shootings. So there you go, everybody.
Oh, shit, why didn't we think of that?
Everybody's,
oh, my God.
Everybody's got to be a Catholic now, apparently, according to Bill Bennett.
How did we miss this? That is so obvious. How did we miss it?
Yep, so... Let's move on to...
Sweet! Sweet of the week!
All right, Breakman, you're Sweet of the week.
Mine goes to shows like Orville and South Park making their switch to streaming. And I know South Park's going to still do like Comedy Central, but they're doing like their pandemic specials and stuff like that, streaming. And when I say their switch to streaming, I mean they're fully embracing it. In other words, their episode lengths are no longer contained to like the 43 minutes or whatever it was for a hour long quote unquote episode of television.
I like that, but we kind of moved on to that.
All right, Eric, real quickly, go ahead, Eric.
I got temporarily locked out of my Twitter account because I said kill all games.
You're being facetious, yeah. But I can see why they kill all gamers
because they were being entitled little shits about. I think it was about people being complete asshats to the developers of the new Monkey Island game for the way the characters look.
Yeah, your son started his first job. That's cool, Freak Five.
I'll be celebrating him less around the house. That's nice.
Yeah, exactly. Woohoo! He's out to work.
Start charging him rent soon, too. Yeah.
That's awesome. All right.
But, yeah, back to my yes. studio. I think it's just really cool that shows like the South Park and Orville are, you know, they're kind of getting to go outside of what they were allowed on television, you know.
I like that. That's good.
They can tell the story they want to tell, and they can be as foul or as dramatic, or, you know, they do whatever the hell they want, pretty much.
Yeah, because it's a paid service at that point, and if you don't want to watch it, you just don't click on it, right? Yeah. I mean, there you go.
Yeah, in order to, like I said, they've fully embraced it, and there have been episodes that are like an hour.
This is why I don't get why Disney Plus feels like it needs to censor some things on Marvel Plus shows.
Yeah, I don't get it either. Like, I know they're trying to keep some type of image, so, you know, it's like, whatever. Yeah. But, I mean, just get it, like, didn't they have Touchstone for a while that did rated R movies? Like, why don't they do something like that, like, for the Daredevil
shows? They already
have
a star system, so, like, why not just, you know, just have a different section
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like
maybe password protected, I don't know.
Yeah, like or do something like under a different banner. Like this is Disney Plus, but go on in for more adult oriented content here. And then you could have like the Marvel shows like Daredevil and Punisher
or I don't know, make a separate app just for kids so you don't have to worry about that shit.
Well, why don't they just put it on Hulu? Because Hulu and Disney and ESPN are all together.
I agree. Like do something like that.
So if you don't want your adult content on the Disney app, just put it on Hulu.
Yeah.
Is that hard?
It's not hard at all, man. They could work it out, man. I mean, they've got to open their eyes, man. All the kids have grown up. We're all adults now. You know, it's like kids grow up eventually, too. You're going to have two different sections, one for kids and one for people that don't want to listen to fucking Hannah Montana all the time. You know, I mean, come on, man. Disney, like, get your head out. They did it before, man. They had that, I think it was Touchstone or Lightstone or whatever their banner was to do rated R movies at the theaters. You know,
yeah,
it's like
they had stuff like, what was it, like Nightmare on Elm Street and shit.
Also,
you know?
They had Miramax, and Miramax was just Miramax for a while until
exactly. I mean, do that. Like, I don't know. They can work it out. It's stupid, but we need to move on. What else?
You made a Marvel movie that's extremely violent.
Yeah. All right, Eric, you already did your
Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Like, yeah. Are you going to censor that when it hits Disney Plus 2? I mean, come on.
Yeah. Then Disney could all release all the adult content they have of their characters. Yeah, exactly.
What, like, what do you mean, like, adult? Are you telling, like, the X-rated version?
No, not
Roger Rabbit and shit?
No. Like all the mature rated shows, like they could start a whole new thing with Marvel, right? Like they could do Ghost Rider over there, they could do Daredevil, they could even do Wolverine as a separate series over there, right? And I mean he's not exactly the nicest guy in the world, Wolverine. So let him loose. Yeah, let him loose over there. You know, it's like, don't be a peewee and masturbate at the theater, Scott. Exactly. It's like, no, we're not going to do that.
Porn theater.
I mean, he was at a porn theater, but you know,
I was never like that big fan of his, but I think that
I think it'd be weird to have a porn theater have a rule against not masturbating.
I know it's kind of dumb.
I've always thought like that's kind of what he went that's there for. Where you, those theaters what you are go legal, there for. Then why is it? Why is that a crime? Like, I get it in a strip club. Like, it'd be weird. Like, if she's doing like a lap dance and you're sitting
unless there's some kind of reward system where you get paid for not, you know, jerking it or something.
Weiland says you'll get a Song of the South before any mature Marvel stuff. I agree, Weiland. I mean, they're talking about bringing back Daredevil in a watered down version, and I'm like, no, I don't want to see that, man. Fuck that. You know, it's stupid. It's so dumb.
I saw Song of the South in the theater.
Oh my god, really? Wow. Yeah. Wow.
You know what's worse though is I actually liked it a lot.
Oh god. A lot of people
I like the Briar Rabbit tail. I didn't know it was racist at the time.
I know, you were a kid and whatever. But
now I see it and like, okay, it's like, okay, I get it. I see what you're talking about. Yeah. I didn't see it as a child, I'm sorry.
Yeah. All right, let's see. Mine, I got a couple real quick that I'll do real quick. The weather's been pretty awesome here. It's been a little hot, but actually pretty okay. A lot of cloud cover, which makes a big difference. Let's see. And employees resigning from GameStop in droves, in Nebraska in particular. I don't have time to go over my whole spiel about how corporate America is destroying the country. Skotoma said earlier he was making $30 an hour to do hard work, redoing bathrooms, like remodeling and shit. That's really, really tough work, and $30 an hour seems a tad low for me, Skotoma, and that's why I think like the minimum wage should be raised easily to $15, probably $18 an hour. If it kept up with the rate of inflation, minimum wage should be about $20, $22 an hour right now.
When was the last time minimum wage was raised?
It was raised to $7.25 in, I believe, I want to say in 2020 or 1999, somewhere around there. And it hasn't been touched since. And so somebody like Skotoma, working a really hard job, a very skilled position, should be making somewhere in the realm of $40 to $50 an hour, which I'm sure would make a big difference in his life. And somebody working in an unskilled position like McDonald's, for instance, should be making like $18 an hour, $18 to $20. I mean, that's the way it should be. But the reason is because, it's barely a comfortable wage, Skotoma says. The reason that people are up in arms because they think that small businesses will crumble. And to which I say, horseshit, all right? Because what would small businesses do? They would adjust, right? The owners would take a little bit less money to keep on going, right? Or the government could actually be useful for a change and cut small businesses a tax break. Which they would never do. They'll do it for big corporations, but they never do it for small businesses. They'll do it for, you know, big corporations like Walmart and Amazon.
So many small businesses went under during the pandemic. The government could have absolutely saved them.
They could have, and they didn't, and they chose not to. So
they chose not to, yeah.
You know, so. So that's what you're going to get. You're going to get more oligarchs like Elon Musk.
Government useful.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what I'm saying. If you want to actually do things like give us universal health care and, you know, raise our wages to like $18, $20 an hour for minimum, cut small businesses tax breaks, you know, other things like that. Start moving away from big oil so we don't have to pay $5 an hour. You know, start investing in renewable energies. I sound like I'm a fucking tree hugger or something, but in all honesty, it makes economic sense for everybody, for at least for the American people. You know, most people in Congress are tied to big oil and have money investments and keeping, you know, the destruction of our planet at the forefront. Big, you know, oil, what I'm saying?
Coal.
Yeah, coal.
Plastic manufacturers,
Obamacare is a big failure in general, Scotoma, because it's mandatory and it costs too much, right?
And it was made by fucking Mitt Romney anyway.
Yeah,
and
it's actually Romney Care, Scotoma. If you look at the basis for Obamacare, it's Romney Care.
But I had one more sweeto, but I just hope you don't forget that.
Go ahead, Eric.
Elon backed out of the Twitter deal, and now they're suing him because he breached contract.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's what happens when you agree to something and then you renege on it. You know, that's what happens. So there you go. All right, we are going to go
I think the whole thing was he thought he was going to get a lot better deal than he was actually going to get, and that's why he decided, I just don't want it now.
Well, he agreed to $40 billion.
He plummeted in stock, so they're pissed.
Yeah, he agreed to go after him. $40 billion, you know, so there you go. All right, here we go to the free-for-all, guys. It's a free-for-all. It's a free-for-all. Wow! All right, round two, we got to get through this pretty quickly. We're coming to the end of the show, but round two of our GameCube, greatest GameCube game of all time. Take it away, Breakman.
I'm trying to load it. Hold on.
Oh, you're still not having loaded. You want me to start then?
Where is it? It's not...
I'm not clicking that virus, Scotoma says. I know, I wouldn't trust Freak 5 either, Scotoma, for sure.
Okay, that's what I'm calling this episode.
There it is. It wasn't loading. Okay, sorry, I found it.
All right.
Didn't load for some reason. Ah, now, where are we? Are we, why are you, what? Come on, load, stupid thing.
All right, here we go.
Are you guys ready?
I'm ready.
I'm exasperated now. All right, I'm done. This game's over with.
All right, what do we got?
All right, for the first GameCube bracket, we got the single-player bracket, and we have Super Mario Sunshine going up against Beautiful Joe. I'm going to let Frank start this one off.
Ooh, okay. Now, these are both great games. There's no question about it. Beautiful Joe is, in my opinion, one of the most underrated games, especially on the GameCube. But Super Mario Sunshine was such a great game. I think Super Mario Sunshine is definitely a top 50, if not a top 25 game. I'm going with Super Mario Sunshine, Break.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and chirp in then, since my pick is also Super Mario Sunshine. I love Super Mario Sunshine, but I love Beautiful Joe, too. I played that game a lot.
Where's our collection?
Yeah, I never really got to play Beautiful Joe, too, so Capcom, get on this stuff. Just saying. But Super Mario Sunshine, what about you, Eric? Unanimous, sir?
Going for Beautiful Joe.
Oh, okay. Well, not unanimous, but Super Mario Sunshine moves on. Next, we have Resident Evil 4 versus an even more evil tyrant in Tom Nook in Animal Crossing. What do you think, Eric?
I'm going with Resident Evil 4.
Ooh. Frank? This is a tough one for me because Animal Crossing is definitely a great game. I think that's another underrated game, even though, you know, people bitch about Tom Nook and the pulling of the... I mean, if you left that game for like 2 or 3 days alone, you'd go back to it and you'd have to pick all kinds of weeds out and shit like that. Mm-hmm. But I've also talked about Resident Evil 4. I think it's a top 10 game of all time. I think what they did with Resident Evil 4, I love the setting. I love the GameCube graphics on it. I think it was as good of a Resident Evil game to date as you can possibly get, although the the latest iteration is pretty damn good. I'm going with Resident Evil 4 on this one, break for sure.
Well, I was actually going to go with Animal Crossing just because for me it was a completely unique experience, even though I actually enjoy Resident Evil 4 more. But, you know, there's not many games like Animal Crossing.
I agree.
But Resident Evil moves on, so let's move on to the next one. This one is a favorite of Frank's. Eternal Darkness is going to come against the original Pikmin. Eric, how do you want to roll?
I'm going to vote for Eternal Darkness.
Frank?
It's a no-brainer for me. Eternal Darkness is probably a top 10 game for me, and definitely probably a top 3 to 5 underrated game of all time, regardless of systems. Eternal Darkness is a great game that nobody really played. So I think Eternal Darkness is awesome. I'm going with Eternal Darkness.
I just said this about Animal Crossing. There's really nothing like Eternal Darkness.
Yes, I agree.
Same thing. It's another completely unique game. Unfortunately, unlike Animal Crossing, it didn't really spawn any other.
Like, I know. I wish they would have come out with more.
Or anything like that, you know?
There have always been rumblings, but nothing ever comes to pass. Yeah, I keep waiting for remakes, Eternal Darkness 2. Can you imagine Eternal Darkness 2 with current gen graphics and sensibilities
they
and gameplay?
They can make it fucking as scary as they
Oh,
wanted.
God. It would be fucking unbelievable. But even a remake. I would take a remake at this point. Yeah.
So Eternal Darkness is the first clean sweep, and it moves on. Next is Luigi's Mansion versus the Resident Evil remake. Oh, God. I'm going to go ahead and start with this one. Until the Ghostbusters game, the one that came out of it like 5-6 years ago, something like that, Luigi's Mansion was the best Ghostbusters game to me. Cool puzzle game, fun, just a fun and different experience with your little vacuum trying to expose them to light and then suck them into the vacuum. And then Resident Evil took an already great game and made it even better. Mm-hmm. The remake was fantastic. Oh, shit. This one's a hard one for me. Maybe I shouldn't have gone first. I'm going to go with the Resident Evil remake. I really enjoyed that one. It's a really close and hard decision for me. But Resident Evil, what about you, Frank?
I like both of these games, but Resident Evil Remake was probably the best remake ever I've ever seen up until now. They did Resident Evil 2 Remake, which is great, and then the Demon Souls Remake I put up there as well, but I think Resident Evil Remake was just perfect. I thought it was pitch perfect. So Resident Evil for
before
me.
Before that, there weren't any great remakes. Really.
Yeah, yeah. What say you, Eric?
I'm going to go with Resident Evil as well. Mm-hmm.
Clean sweep? All
right. Clean sweep, nice. Now we go to the multiplayer games, and we have Super Smash Bros. Melee versus Mario Kart Double Dash. Eric, you're going to start this out.
Excuse me, I missed.
bless you.
He goes with sneeze.
Yes. Double Dash is probably my favorite of the Mario Kart games. I played a lot of Mario Karts up until Double Dash. I really haven't played them since, just because I have nobody to play with, and I don't really want to play on our Nintendo's online because it sucks.
Mm-hmm.
But Mario Kart Double Dash was a lot of fun. Fuck Baby Mario and Baby Luigi. They're assholes. And Smash Brothers, like, I'm always a big fan of Smash Brothers.
I think
Brothers.
I understand why I hate Double Dash so much, because that it introduced the babies.
They are ass.
I mean, sure, they technically came from Yoshi's Island, too, but, like, they popularized them after that point.
Yeah, they were fucking assholes. That chain chomp they chased you with, like, what the fuck, man? Hate those assholes. But Smash Bros. Melee added like this adventure to the game, which was really weird. Like,
well, I didn't care for like the swapping characters gimmick. Then I didn't really care for it.
I like that. I have a lot of fun with that. Like when the one character's hanging off the back and stuff like that as you're going over jumps. Just had a little fun things like that I really liked about Mario Kart Double Dash. Which is why I'm gonna pick Mario Kart Double Dash, even though I really liked Smash Brothers, and Melee was a lot of fun, and it increased the roster of what you had from the Wii, or not from the Wii, but the N64 I meant. But it didn't really go like as massive they are now. Like, the new game's got a billion characters in near the current game. It's still Mario Kart. What about you, Eric?
I'm going to go for Melee.
Melee. So, Frank, it's up to you to break a tie here.
This is a tough matchup for me. I think that Melee is slightly overrated, to be honest with you. I do like it, especially the later iterations of Smash Brothers. But I got to go with Double Dash, man. I mean, I like Double Dash quite a bit. I think that's a really, really fun multiplayer game. And that's no disrespect to Melee, because I think Melee is good. But I just think it's slightly overrated. Leisure Suit Larry Wet Dreams? Wow. Yeah, I haven't heard that name in a bit. Freak 5 is a big fan of Leisure Suit Larry. All right, what else
that's,
you got?
That's the Switch. We're talking about the GameCube. Keep up, man, keep up.
A PC. Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. You can talk about boobs any day of the week. Yes. Next, we have Mario Party 4 through 7 versus the phone.
Versus the telephone, yes.
And the telephone wins. Versus Pac-Man versus... I will go first, even though Mario Party 4 through 7 is, you know, several games, and there are some good games in there. I think it was like the third one that was broken really bad. So maybe it was before this that are really broken. Because I know some of these have easy ways to make comebacks and stuff for somebody who's doing badly, for instance. And there are a lot of fun mini games, but there's some frustrating mini games in them. Where Pac-Man Versus was just a straight up, you know, you versus your friends. One guy is Pac-Man, everybody else is ghosts, and they're trying to kill Pac-Man, and Pac-Man's trying to kill them. And if you were fortunate enough to have a GameCube and three Game Boy Advances, you can all hook them up together. And play against your friends on their Game Boy SPs while you're sitting there playing on the TV, and I still think it was one of the best multiplayer games I've ever played, and Pac-Man Versus is my choice. Is Frank still on the phone?
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm gonna pick Mario Party 4 through 7 because I did.
You're wrong.
Okay. I did play extensively with friends. Mario Party 4 or 5, I think. So I'm picking that, but Pac-Man Versus would have been fun for me if I could have had people to play with, but I never had enough people
to play with. That's the big drawback with a game like that. You had to have like the capability to do it, and you know, I at the time ran a game store, so it was easy for me to have some Game Boys hooked up to the GameCube and play in the store and shit.
Yeah.
But yeah.
All right, so Eric is the tiebreaker, right?
Tiebreaker.
Eric, did we lose Eric?
Uh-oh.
Oh, shit. Hold on.
Ruh-roh.
Let me see if we lost Eric. No. Oh, his mic is muted.
Oh, it was his phone that rang, not yours.
Yes. Yes.
Was your phone.
My bad. No, it's not mine. Eric, your choice. Mario Party or Pac-Man? You're the tiebreaker.
I'm going Pac-Man Versus.
Nice! Pac-Man Versus wins!
Well,
like that.
I can't win them all. Just 99% of them.
Right. Next, we have... What are you doing here on the computer? Stop doing that. Next, we have Mario Kart... Mario Kart. Jesus Christ. Mario Golf versus Super Monkey Ball 2. I'll go first because I've been pretty vocal in the past about my disdain for the Monkey Ball series. And I did enjoy the Mario Golf on the GameCube. So, Mario Golf. Frank, what's up with you?
I'm going to... put Eric on the spot here because I do like Super Monkey Ball quite a bit, even though it's frustrating at times. I'm picking Super Monkey Ball.
Eric, you're a tiebreaker. Oh, you, dang it. Okay, see? I won the last round. Frank won this round. I get it.
I'm just, you
that's,
know.
That's
just
fair, saying. I guess. Yeah. Monkey balls. Next, we have Time Splitters 2, the only first-person shooter on this list. Versus the only surviving fighting game on this list, Soul Calibur 2. Actually, there might is there any more fighting games on here? I don't think there are.
No, that's it.
No, I guess Chibi Robo is technically kind of a fighting game, even though it's a piece of trash shitstorm of a game. But it's there. So I am going to let Eric start, since he's the tiebreaker last two rounds.
I think you're thinking Custom Robo.
What are you picking, Eric?
Right, I was thinking of Custom Robo. You're right, not Chibi Robo.
Which, there was, like, several other games in the series that are apparently better than the GameCube one.
All right, Eric,
you're right. Custom Robo was the turd of a game. I hate that game. That was one of those games when we got it in the store. It's like, oh, it's cool, this game's supposed to be the new thing. And after 10 minutes, we're like, do we really have to sell this to people? I feel bad. I don't want to give this in. We should hide it in the back and not let anybody buy it. We'll just tell them it never happened.
Right.
We'll save everybody some heartache. You know?
All right, Eric, what are you picking?
I have a secret feeling that it's actually a good game. Break just sucked at it, so he hates it with a passion.
Right. Eric, what are you picking, dude? We gotta pick up the pace here.
Time Slippers 2 or Soul Calibur 4? 2.
Soul Calibur 2.
I guess I'm going next, Break.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm going to pick Time Splitters, too, because I love both of these games probably almost equally. Time Splitters, though, it's the only first-person shooter other than Metroid that I liked on the GameCube, so I'm picking Time Splitters, man.
Even though both of these games were multi-platform, only one of them had the benefit on a GameCube of having something different from the other platforms. But Time Splitters 2 is a fun game. That's another series that needs to come back. Just like Eternal Darkness.
I agree.
Need to bring back Time Splitters. However, I was always a big fan of Soul Calibur, and I really liked at the time it was a gimmick, and I hope stuff like that doesn't happen anymore, because I hate console exclusives, but at the time it was kind of cool to have, like play with Link in Soul Calibur.
You're a son of a bitch, Breakman.
I'm going to pick Soul Calibur.
I knew it, you son of a bitch. You're a time splitterist.
That's true. It's true. I talk nice about him when I'm on the air. As soon as the microphones go off, I talk about him and I call him like the
exactly.
I call him the T word behind their back. I don't know what that is, but I call him anyway. Next, we move on to the RPG bracket: The Legend of Zelda: Wind Waker versus Paper Mario: The Thousand Year Door. I will start us off. Both of these were fun games, and I remember at the time so many people were kind of upset before Wind Waker came out about the graphics and such, but once you played the game and you were in this cartoon world, it felt natural. It was a great game, and Paper Mario had that unique, cool look to it as well. So just on appearance, it's a hard decision. However, I did enjoy Wind Waker a lot more than The Thousand Year Door. Just something about the cartoon it was sort of like being in a cartoon that I really liked. So, Wind Waker for me. How about you, Eric?
I'm gonna go with Wind Waker.
Frank?
I think it's a clean sweep. Much as I really like Paper Mario Thousand Year Door, Wind Waker is just an all-time great game, in my opinion. I like it. I like the solitude of it sometimes when you're just sailing around, and and I do like the cel-shaded art style.
Especially the BU version where you can make the boat go faster.
Yeah. Well, even if the boat wasn't fast, I was okay with it. I don't know.
Frank's the pothead. That's the perfect time for him to, like, smoke his marijuana and stuff like that, you know? Roll up the joint and get it going.
That's right. I mean, that's the way to do it, man. For sure. All right.
Next we have Tales of Symphonia versus The Legend of Zelda's Collector's Edition. This was the Zelda Link to the Past and Link's Adventure all together on a. And there was nothing special to him. It was just there on the disc. And for that reason, I am actually going to go with Tales of Symphonia, which was an original game, and it was one of the best RPGs at the time when it came out.
I just wish it got a better port on the Steam and the PS3. It's like they really screwed up there, making it based on the PS2 version with its 30 FPS cap.
Oh, that's sad, because Tales of Symphonia on a GameCube is a fantastic game. And I picked Tales of Symphonia. How about you, Eric?
I'm going with Tales of Symphonia as well.
Frank?
Yep. Tales of Symphonia for me as well.
All right.
Although I did like that collector's edition.
I did too.
Yeah, it was great.
I did too, but like I said, it's not really original, and the Tales of Symphonia was an original story, and at the time it was one of the best RPGs out.
I agree. I think I think it's a great game, man. An underrated RPG for sure. Making me miss playing Metroid, Skotima says. Yes, Metroid's awesome.
We're not there yet.
We're getting there, dude. We're getting there.
Next, we have Mega Man X: The Command Missions versus Skies of Arcadia Legends, which was Arcadia Legend. Jesus, I cannot talk today. I seriously cannot talk. Which was Skies of Arcadia 1 and 2.
Jesus. Yeah. I'll go first on this one, Break.
What do you mean 1 and 2? It was just one game.
Yeah, just one game.
Just one game in that one? Which one was the 1 and 2 then?
That was Evolution.
Evolution.
Oh, Evolution. Yeah. Okay. My bad.
I'm going with Skies of Arcadia, man. I like Skies of Arcadia on the, I believe it was on the Dreamcast, if I'm not mistaken. But I like the GameCube version of Skies of Arcadia, so I'm definitely going with Skies of Arcadia.
I never actually played the Skies of Arcadia Legends. I did play Mega Man X Command Mission, but I played it on the PlayStation 2. Was Skies of Arcadia a multi-platform game?
Mm-mm. It was only on the Cube.
Okay. Dreamcast,
and then the GameCube version, which just had more content.
Yeah, had more content.
And for that reason, I'm going to pick Skies of Arcadia.
All right. Eric?
Skies of Arcadia.
Yeah. Clean sweep by Skies of Arcadia. That leaves us with the final RPGs. Final two RPGs of this bracket here. Byte and Kaitos, Eternal Wings of the Lost Ocean, versus Pokemon XD, Gale of Darkness. Frank, you want to start us off?
It's Byte and Kaitos for me, just because I didn't play the Pokemon games on the GameCube, even though I know they're great. Although I don't know if this was one of the better efforts. You guys probably know better than I do, but Byte and Kaitos for me.
From what I never finished Gale of Darkness, but I mean it was a fun enough Pokemon game, but it's also a Gen 3 Pokemon game, which means it has Gen 3 issues. And the character design of that game was just weird. Genius Sorority, what were you smoking when you made that game? It somehow looks simultaneously better than Pokemon Colosseum, but also worse, because the characters are just weird looking in some places. But
unlike Colosseum, this was an actual RPG.
Yeah. It's like, it was an actual RPG based on the same more concept. You still have to catch shadow Pokemon and capture the shadow Pokemon and then purify them. So it was the only Pokemon game where you could steal another person's Pokemon because you were doing it for good reasons.
Oh, cool. So it's a good reason to be a thief, or, I'm sorry, treasure hunter.
But it pales comparison to Byte and Kaitos. So I'll vote for Byte and Kaitos.
I am going to go with Frank. What do you want?
Byte and Kaitos, man, for sure.
I know, you said it. I know, I was trying to switch. I'll just go Byte and Kaitos, too. I was actually going to say Pokemon just because it was the first actual RPG.
Console Pokemon game.
Yeah.
Up to that point, first and only, because technically the Switch is not really a console, it's a hybrid console, portable thing.
Well, so Byte and Kaitos moves on, full sweep. Well, I guess I shouldn't say full sweep. Like I said, I was going to pick Pokemon, because, up to that you had, like, Pokemon Snap and Pokemon Colosseum and stuff, and people are dying and begging and crying for a Pokemon RPG, and they kept getting shit like Snap.
Yeah, I know.
So back to the last of the bracket, which is mostly single-player games, but there are some multiplayer game in here, and there's some RPG in here, and let's go ahead and start it out with Metroid Prime, which is maybe the best game on the GameCube, versus Burnout 2. I am going to go ahead and start it out. I love both of these games. The only real difference, Burnout 2 is a multiplayer, multi-platform, I didn't mean to say multiplayer, but it is multiplayer, but I meant a multi-platform game. Whereas Metroid Prime was only a GameCube game, and it had the most fucked up control scheme, but it was so worth it. It was worth the time and the effort to learn the controls, and once you learn them, you're into that game, into an alien world. It brought Metroid alive. Just exploring the world like you do in that game, compared to like the old Metroid games. Metroid Prime is my pick. What about you, Frank?
I played more Burnout 2 on the GameCube than I think any game out of any of them, I believe. But that being said, Metroid Prime pulled off something that most first-person shooters cannot pull off, and that's platforming. Mm-hmm. Metroid Prime was a revolutionary game in every sense of the word. It's got to be Metroid Prime. Metroid Prime is a top 20 game for me, easily.
Mm. I think it's probably the best game on the game.
I feel like it's also one of the first first-person shooters where it doesn't feel like you're a walking turret, because you're constantly seeing Samus's other arm support her arm cannon.
Yep.
And every place you go, like, it feels like you're in a new, like, environment in an alien world.
Yeah.
Like, before that, how much experience did you have actually feeling like you were in an alien world? You'd see, had third-person shooters and stuff like that, but this was, like, the first first-person shooter like this.
Yeah. It's never been replicated.
About exploring a world as opposed to killing your enemies.
Yeah, it's never been replicated by any first-person shooter, ever. To this day, you don't have that same feel. Like, it,
and not to say the combat isn't fun, because combat.
No, the combat's great. I mean, I'd put it up there. I mean, I know this might be controversial, because there's a lot of first-person shooters out there that people love, like Call of Duty and all bullshit like that. But Metroid Prime, to me, is probably the greatest first-person shooter of all time.
Apparently, like, there's rumors of the Prime remasters happening.
Oh my god, please let it happen. Let it be so. On the Switch, I'll be there day one buying for sure. So Prime for me, Break.
Prime for me as well.
Same.
Alright, clean sweep. We've had more clean sweeps with this tournament than any other tournament I think ever.
Yeah.
And I think it'll probably be the same with this one. Metroid Prime 2 versus Chibi Robo. I like Metroid Prime 2 a lot. But I just didn't have the same wow factor as the original did. Kind of the same way I feel about Mario Galaxy and Mario Galaxy 2. Like, it was still a fantastic game, but just, like, I didn't have that new experience like I did with the original Metroid Prime. However, Chibi Robot, I don't... okay, that was a platforming game, right?
I remember it vaguely.
I vaguely remember it, and I had it confused with Custom Robo earlier, so definitely Metroid Prime 2. Eric, what about you?
I never really played Chibi Robo, but I heard it was a fun game. But I'm voting for Metroid Prime 2, because I don't have a base of reference for Chibi Robo.
I vaguely remember it, but like I said, I got confused with Custom Robo earlier, so obviously it's not that memorable of a game. What about you?
It's Metroid Prime 2, and I slightly disagree with you. I thought Metroid Prime 2 may have been the best of the Prime games on the Cube.
I don't think it's as balanced as well, though.
I don't know, man. I remember Metroid Prime 2 being primo.
Yeah,
man,
but Prime 2's end was like a boss rush. And
yeah,
you had no breathing room in between the last two.
That's true. That is true.
I think it was better than the third one, though.
I like three too, but
three was all right. But like, I kind of felt like it peaked with the original and kind of went down from there. But that's just my personal opinion. Metroid Prime 2 moves on, clean sweep. Frank, X-Men Legends versus Simpsons Hit and Run.
Simpsons multi-platform games. Hit and Run was super fun, but I really like the RPG elements of X-Men Legends. I think it was a unique game. I'm going with X-Men Legends for sure.
I think the problem with Prime 3, though, is that it was too linear.
Who cares? I like linear games.
I think that's what most people's problem is. That and the motion controls.
Yeah, the motion controls definitely sucked. All right, Eric, what do you think?
Yeah, I think my biggest
problem. I actually like the motion controls for the Metroid Prime trilogy. I'm going to go with X-Men Legends.
This is a clean sweep, and though I had a lot of fun with Simpsons Hit and Run, which was Simpsons GTA, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
More lighthearted, and it had a lot of humor of the show and the cartoon animation and graphics. It looked and played, and it was everything fun. But the X-Men Legends dug deep into X-Men lore. And gave like a satisfying action RPG experience that I really liked. And it was the first to start a trend.
Replay values more in X-Men Legends, Skotoma says. That's true. That is.
Well,
true.
I mean, I'm sorry. Yeah, X-Men Legends spawned off. Now we have like the, what are they called? Is it Marvel Legends or something?
I don't know.
But you know, so it was such a successful start that they spawned more of those games. Yeah. Where Simpson Hit and Run was going, you know, a one-off kind of thing. And I'm going back to X-Men Legends, so it's a clean sweep. Next. And finally, the last game we have on here, which is good because we're all hungry, X-Men Legends 2 versus Mega Man Network Transmission, which was, this was a GameCube only game, whereas X-Men Legends 2 was multi-platform. X-Men Legends 2 was better than the original in every way. The good first one was good, and the second one said, hey, we can make that better. And they did. It's hard to argue with that. Whereas Mega Man Network Transmission was I know what they wanted to do, but they did not. They did not succeed. It's a game like it's got Mega Man on it, and I want to like it. I want to like it so much. But X-Men Legends 2. Eric, what about you?
X-Men Legends 2. I mean, I never really played that much of X-Men Legends, mm-hmm. but. I saw people play X-Men, and it looked more fun.
Yeah,
X-Men Legends 2. I like that
it could be multiplayer with your friends, or you could control all four of the guys yourself. Yeah. Sorry, Frank, I didn't interrupt.
No, I like X-Men Legends 2, and I agree with you. It upped the ante in every facet of that game, and that game was already great to begin yes. with. So, I mean, doing even better with the second one, which is really hard to do.
Of, like, Ultimate Alliance, Ultimate Alliance 2.
Ultimate Alliance, that's what it's called. Sorry, Marvel.
Why can't they? Why can't they do that for X-Men Legends?
Yeah.
It's all Disney's fault.
Yeah. Nope, there you go. I like our picks, man. I don't think I disagree too much with there's a couple of them.
Next week, Metroid Prime versus Metroid Prime 2 and X-Men Legends versus X-Men Legends 2.
Well, I'm looking at this Eternal Darkness versus Evil Dead remake, man. Holy fuck, what a matchup that is, man. There's nothing but great matchups next week, man. Nothing but great.
Did you say Evil Dead remake?
No.
I think he meant Resident Evil.
Resident Evil. Evil Dead.
I said Resident Evil and Eternal Darkness.
That's not what you said, but
son
okay.
of a bitch. Replay it, son of a bitch.
I'm complaining, man. Who doesn't like the Evil Dead?
That's true. Evil Dead's awesome. But, yeah, I mean, these are all great games, man. We have... I mean, this is a great bracket break, for sure. Great, great bracket, man.
Yeah, there's not a network transmission's gone. There's no more stinkers left, you know?
Yeah, nothing. That we trimmed all the fat out, as they say. So, there you go.
Next week... In the wrong... Tails won, but I typed in Zelda for some reason. I don't know. I gotta fix that.
Yeah.
That would have been weird next week. Like, I thought that other game won.
Tales of Zelda collectors, apparently.
Oh, damn you, Tails.
Yeah.
Damn you, Zelda, and right. infect my memory with everything.
This is gonna be... All these matchups are gonna be tough for me next week, Break. Mm-hmm. I think you did this by design, man. You're like, I know what he's gonna pick here, so I'll put this game here. I know what Eric's gonna pick here, so I'll put this here. I think you strategically put these games like this way.
I appreciate the faith in me, but like I said, I did this in like a half hour or something like that, so it wasn't I didn't have enough time to strategically plan stuff like that.
The fat is the best part, Scotto says. Well, not in this case, man. Normally I'd agree with you, man, but good on you, Break. Great tournament so far. So there you go. It gives the flavor. It does. I argue that point on stakes all the time with people, Scotoma, but unless you're talking filet mignons, those are different tenderloins, as they say.
Yeah, right? Filet mignon's the one meat I like, that I will eat raw. Like, not raw, I should, not raw or rare, I mean, like...
Oh, God, gross.
Close to, like, I'll eat it medium, is what I mean.
Yeah, I like medium well, for the
but
most part.
I prefer but... well done.
Yeah, me too. Most people are
but
like...
Mignon is so tender if you eat it, like, if you eat it, like, medium.
Oh, it's so good. Medium well. It has to be medium well for me, but, you know, whatever. Great tournament. All right, that's all we got time for. Let's do our plugs, guys. What do you got, Breakman?
You can follow me at... RP Grinders on Twitter, and you can ask us a question about your relationship. How can I save it if you won't even ask?
Yeah, let's do a Dear Breakman next week, man. I've been missing that. I mean, somebody send in a question for Breakman on Twitter, at RP Grinders. It can be anything. It doesn't have to be a relationship. It can be video games. It can be politics. It can be, you know, sexual stuff, whatever. Mm-hmm. Just send something in to break so we have something for next week.
Like what's the best technique, you know, stuff like that. We can help you out.
Well, I can. I don't know about break, man. He's a little wet behind the ears, but, you know, so...
That's compared to you and your 12 billion years of life. That's not fair.
All right. Anything else, break?
You predate the 7 days. I mean, it's
how
not
dare
fair.
You. How dare you? All right, Eric, what you got?
You know, that's how the whole 7 days happens. He took a bet with God. I bet you can't do it in 7 days.
Oh, damn it. How dare you, break? All right, Eric, what you got?
The best part is Frank never paid the bet.
I've got written reviews on BossBashBrigade.com, and I got the audio reviews on the feed. Got nothing this week. I wanted to do something over the weekend, and then I got caught up in things, and then all week I was tired and out of energy to do anything other than want to sit down and recover from all the work I did, because I've been working 9 hours shifts. Maybe tomorrow I can have something, because I wanted to do it today, but I didn't have time because the aforementioned. Plus, I wanted to look up something, and I didn't have time to, like, squeeze it in. But, and I was going to decide to save the review for until after I played the PS4 version of the game, so I could just include my thoughts on that version as well. But, the audio feed reviews are, on the feed, but if you like either of those and you want to support me, there's a link to my Patreon. My Patreon account is at my Twitter profile, which is at EricRPG, and sending me a little dollar would be great, or you could just do whatever, a one time, like whatever you want, and that would be nice too. If you can't, then find someone who can, or who might be willing to listen to what I have to say. And, Colinella, the Colinella 1 and 2 collection remake is out, and I hope people buy it. I mean, it's already sold a lot on Steam, but I want people to buy it on other platforms too, to try to convince Bandai Namco to do more with the Colinella franchise.
Yeah, it's a good underrated franchise for sure. All right, anything else, Eric?
Watch out for COVID BA.5. It's apparently much more effective. And even talking to just one person, even outside, is probably not advisable without a mask.
All right.
And you should definitely have your booster.
You can follow me on Twitter, at Frank Branches. I'm very rarely on there, but if you do ask me a question or something, or want me to follow you, I'll follow you back and answer your question. You can follow me on any of the systems, RP Grinders, or I think Frank Branches. Either way, I'll get you there. You can follow my other channel, Mexican Long Hair, on Twitter. I'm 100 away from 3,000, which would be pretty awesome milestone to reach. I've put a lot of work onto that channel, so I hope everybody enjoys it. Thanks to all the chatters. Freak5, Wyland was in there, Skodama, OAX2, Academy Impossible, Alien Conglomeration, Danking Around, I love that name, Rogue Girl, and, I said Skodama. So thanks, guys, in chat, and thanks for the archivers. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you watch Stranger Things. It was fantastic this year. The Boys is pretty good so far. I mean, TV's never been better, I think, than right now. I know I keep saying that, like, year after year, but holy hell, you know, just awesome. All right, I think that's it. You guys got anything else before we take off?
Yeah, Freak wanted to plug Bernie's OnlyFans. She's apparently this week she's going to dress up your penis to look like Vicky the Robot from Small Wonder.
You're exiled, you son of a bitch. Exiled, Freak 5. You win. Thanks,
sir. You remember that show, right? Small Wonder?
God damn it. I hate you guys. I hate all of you, except for Skodama.
She was a robot, but they made
I hate all of you.
Sister.
All of you, because he said, great show, guys. Yes, thank you, Scudum. I really appreciate it. All right, take care, everybody. Have a great day. Stay safe this weekend. We want to see you back here next week. Until then, we are out. Later, everybody. You had to do it, you son of a bitch. You're exiled too, Breakman. Son of a bitch. Son of a bitch.